101.3, The Game. It's The Huddle. Right. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game. 101.3TheGame.com and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Gordon Hayward just wanted to say hi.
Wow. You couldn't wait.
That's the band known as the Boston Celtics. Wow. With their world-acclaimed Gordon Hayward Revenge Tour coming to a arena near you.
I couldn't wait.
It only took like 10 years. Thank goodness for that.
10 years.
39 points last night. That was awesome. I didn't even want to start the show with that. Rich pulled that one out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was going to save my gloating for the 5 o'clock hour.
I couldn't wait.
Yeah, I'm already in a bad mood to begin with. So.
Well, awesome. Well, that usually makes for good radio.
Well, I got up at 4:15 in the morning.
Oh, no. You poor guy. How did you do that? How can you still be alive?
Yeah, what time do you
says
get
the person
morning?
Who was cranky as hell all day yesterday about not getting his midday nap.
I don't know where you get this idea. I was cranky.
You
yesterday.
Were cranky yesterday
because I wasn't my usual jovial, smiley
yes,
self.
Yes, exactly.
Arnie even said you were cranky when you left the room yesterday.
Well, it's because we're trying to sell things to people that don't want to buy.
I was talking a lot of smack behind your back, but I took my wife. I left my house at 4:30. Dropped my wife off at the airport at 4:40 for a 6 o'clock flight.
No, she should have Ubered.
I wonder you're so happy.
That would have been the considerate thing to do.
No,
Uber.
No, that's not the part that bothered me, though. The part that bothered me is when I got a text at 6:05 saying she missed the flight.
She was at the airport an hour and a half early and missed the flight.
The 4:40.
How is that possible?
4:40.
Okay, what time was the flight?
6 o'clock.
Oh, well, see, I told you, that's on
late.
You.
No,
because
no,
you
no,
think
no.
you can get there 40 minutes beforehand
no,
in Burlington
not
and be
on
okay.
Me. No, not on me.
Yeah, that's late.
Let me tell you something. If I'm at the airport at 4:40 and my flight's at 6 o'clock, I'm on that plane. I promise you that.
If I
have to leave my luggage in the middle of the airport, I'm on that plane.
You do realize there's more people in that airport between 4 and 6 a.m. than the entire rest of the day
combined. What happened was the girl who comes for the airlines, there's like 4 flights going out at the same time. There's one girl working. And she came late, so everybody was all backed up.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, hey, you know, that's on you. And I go, well, here are your choices. You could come back home, take an Uber, because I'm not coming to get you. Or you could figure a way to get to the Bahamas. Wrong thing to say.
You think?
Wrong thing to say.
So she's upset with you.
No, I don't care about her being upset. That's the least
that's
of
just,
my worries.
That's a daily occurrence.
Yeah, forget about that. Yeah. It was the part where she texts me back going, okay, I got a flight to New York, and I'm going to make my connector to the Bahamas. I'm like, great. And she goes, oh, and it only costs $600 one way.
Well,
$600 one way to New York?
Where was she? Was she supposed to go to New York anyways?
Yeah, she was supposed to go from here to New York and New York to the Bahamas.
So since she's still going from here to New York, but it was $600 more than her original flight.
Well, everything was free from her company. Now we had to come. This is how she just took out the cards and I'll put out the card. I go, $600.
Isn't the
huh?
company going to reimburse?
Well, hopefully the airlines is going to reimburse.
Yes.
But she missed the flight.
Which she did, and she deserved
missed the flight,
to miss
and
the
she's
flight.
Getting, everything's getting paid for, so if I was the company, I wouldn't give her a dime.
I agree, because you guys showed up late.
Well, hour and 20 minutes.
That's late. At 4:40 in the morning on a weekday, that's late.
She goes, well, I go, how did the other people make the flight?
You know what's going to happen is this. You're actually going to end up okay. So she still gets to the Bahamas. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The airline's going to reimburse you that $600, and they're going to give you some free airline credit or something, of which really should go to the company because all along it was going to be on them, but now it was on you. So you're going to end up getting the free ticket from the airline,
right,
and then an additional ticket that goes to just you.
I don't know how she's dealing with it now because I really didn't care at that point. Because $600. I go, and you know what? That's the part that burns me. I don't care. We're getting reimbursed. She's just like, okay, here's another ticket. I'll buy another ticket. Next time you come back home and you get to miss your trip, how about that?
And look, I love Beth to death. She's wonderful. Gosh. How she's ever survived with you for all these years, I'll never know.
Unbelievable.
But that being said, I would imagine she's fairly challenging in a missed plane situation.
But you know what it is? It's always like this every time we go to the airport. We're always rushing, and she's like, "Oh, where's my phone? Where's my?" It's like my brother. We can't leave. Where's my phone? Where's my wallet? Where's my hat? Where's my gloves?
Whereas you something, just want to show up like 9 minutes before the flight.
No, but look, I got my phone next to me. I always know where my wallet is. Okay, I'm not a numbskull. I don't lose things every 2 seconds of the day.
Just don't pack anything. That's what I do.
Oh my goodness,
there's less to lose when you don't bring anything.
Oh, I hear. Where's this? Where's that? What did I do with this? What did I do with that? How do you lose so many things? You know the people I'm talking about, too.
Oh, she's a woman. They carry a lot more things than we do.
My brother's like that. The worst.
Classic L.A.
The worst.
Yep. Got to have everything.
I think I left it at the restaurant. No, you were just on the phone Tuesday. It's somewhere. It's somewhere. Hey, my wallet.
Oh, it's in my pocket.
My wallet. It's in my pocket. You know, it fell between the seats.
You know what my, I don't have a nervous tick like that, but you know what I am always constantly worried about? Two things.
Yeah.
One, did I leave the lights to the car on? And two, did I forget to lock the door?
That's fair enough.
I am very much that guy.
Mine's the garage door. I'll circle around the block to make sure the garage door is closed.
I was going to, my parents came up around my birthday. We went over to Plattsburgh. And then I was going to be gone for the night at Jess's lake house. So I went to Plattsburgh and I was like, did I leave the door unlocked? Did I leave the door unlocked? Should I turn around? I'm already 9 minutes gone, so I'm just going to go and then hope it's
going to. Yeah, but so what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come in and steal your stuff. So what?
Yeah, great. That's nothing.
I'm always worried that I'll leave the garage door open and somebody will come in, try to steal something, see the dogs there, then run out, leave the door open, and the dogs will get out. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Mine is always, did I leave the key for the person who's feeding my cat to get into the condo? And believe me, I've had to turn around before, so.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's the whole flying, but the best part about the flying is once you have all that panic, then you get to sit in the airport for 6 hours on a perfect sunny day because there's malfunctions in the engine or something.
That's only you. I haven't had flight problems in a while.
I can't remember ever not having flight delays.
Like, knock on wood, I haven't had problems with my flights. Because you always pick, the worst possible flights with 14-hour layovers.
Right, the cheap ones.
Yes, exactly. There's a reason why there's
79 bucks to Phoenix, I'm in.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's problems.
Jason Wilson, people like that are sickening, Arnie. I got a spot for everything, and I never lose anything. It's not hard to keep things in their spot. See, now that sounds a little bit, Misery, that lady that keeps the,
Kathy
figurines.
Bates.
Yeah, keeps the figurines at 8 o'clock, and you moved one of them, and then she comes by, and she takes a sledgehammer to your feet and breaks them. that sounds a little bit like that, to be honest with you.
What a great movie.
All right, lots to get to. It's a busy, busy show. Brady, tell everybody what's going on.
We're on Twitch today, twitch.tv/1013thegame. We're on every single day for 3 hours. So twitch.tv/1013thegame. Give us a like right-hand corner of that computer screen, phone screen, wherever you're watching this tablet, and then you will get a notification every single time we go live. Trivia tonight, City Sports Grill in Colchester. Rich will be there 7 to 9 p.m., $5 select appetizers, and Zero Gravity beer on special. At the end of the month, we give away a trip to the Zero Gravity Brewery. As for today, we'll get into that Bruins controversy at 15 minutes. Arnie's going to eat some more crow on Gordon Hayward.
Well, let the listeners decide that, but go ahead.
You're going to eat some crow on Gordon Hayward. We'll talk with Buster Olney at 5 o'clock. But first, Colin Cowherd, he says it's not just one loss for the Patriots. Yes, they're 8-1, but he slid them all the way down to the fifth best team in the league in his herd hierarchy.
There's nobody out there. They are totally dependent on Edelman and now Mohamed Sanu on third down. They have no over-the-top game. They're on a third-string left tackle and a backup center. They don't now have a dependable kicker. Their defense is really, really good. But at some point, you got to be able to get some cheap points. Does everything have to be an 11-play drive?
So Colin Cowherd of The Herd every day, noon to 3, says that the Patriots, the fifth-best team in the league, he's got them behind the number 4 Cowboys, the number 3 Ravens, the number 2 Saints, and the number 1 49ers.
I could see them going behind San Francisco, the Saints, and the Ravens and being at number 4. I could see them making a case. I don't, the Cowboys, that's laughable considering their first three wins were against garbage teams. It was Miami, Washington. I don't remember the third one. Then they had the 3-game losing streak. They beat Philadelphia and then the Giants, right? No, that's laughable. I think he's just trying to stick it to the Patriot fans.
He loves the Patriot fans.
I don't understand that because fourth would be the worst, and I could see you could definitely still make a case for them being at number 2 if you wanted
to. This is classic Colin. He's like, all right, let's stick a team in there to piss everybody off. How about the Cowboys? Let's put them in because everyone hates or loves the Cowboys. Let's put
them
in.
Same as the Patriots.
Yes, but you have to put the Patriots in the top 5. You don't have to put the 5-3 Cowboys who haven't played anybody. They're 11th in the ESPN Power Rankings.
He could have put Dallas at 5th and the Patriots at 4th.
I just don't think Dallas is one of the 5 best teams in the league. I mean,
so you take that story as Dallas. I take that story as the Patriots.
Oh, that's too low for me. I would agree, but it's so hard to gauge it because, as somebody may have said once or twice over the last couple of months, the Patriots haven't played anybody.
Yes.
So I think they're probably 3rd. I mean, you have to put San Francisco at the top, don't you? They're the only undefeated team.
No, I don't buy that either. Who have they played?
Look, I understand that.
Look, they're good. And when they go and when they play Seattle on Monday Night Football, in which I think they're going to win, I do think they're going to beat Seattle. Then we can finally say that they've played somebody.
Oh, is that the Monday night game?
Yes.
Well, they played somebody and they lost.
That'll be fun.
That's the problem.
No, the 49ers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about the 49ers.
But I mean, to not have the Packers, not have the Seahawks. I mean, I'm trying. The Chiefs aren't up there. The Seahawks are just banged up.
He's got the Seahawks at 10. I think the Packers at 9.
Jason said putting the boys ahead of the Pats was bad, but the Pats at about number 4 is okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm okay with them being at number 4.
Yeah, with that schedule, I'm fine. I'm 4, 3, I think. But yeah, somewhere in there.
This is the difference between us here and our little radio threesome that we have going on. Because you guys get all just into the list and everything. I'm not that into the rankings. Because here's how I look at this. This ranking means nothing to me. Whether the Patriots are 1st or 5th, that doesn't mean one thing to me. All it means to me is this. If your ability to win the Super Bowl, that's all I care about. Your ability to win the Super Bowl is based on opportunity. And the Patriots have the best opportunity of these teams to win the Super Bowl. They play in the easiest division. That's been well established for the last 20 years that they play in an easy division. They've had an easy schedule that they have rightfully feasted on to this point. They have a hard middle of the season schedule upper middle of the schedule. And then they're going to end the season with Cincinnati, Buffalo at home. They're going to see the Dolphins again, and they're probably going to go 3-0 on the backside of the schedule. They're going to finish with a first-round bye. They're going to finish with the number one seed. They're only going to have to win 2 games, of which are at home. If they see the Ravens again, it will be at home. If they see the Chiefs a second time this year, it will be at home.
Yep.
They will have an opportunity. They will have the easiest road to the Super Bowl. So you can miss me with your 1-5 rankings here on November 5th and 6th.
Wait a minute,
but
though,
I'm looking at an opportunity to win the Super Bowl.
You put him to start the show off. Talking about the importance of the rankings, there is none. I had the college football rankings just come out. I mean, you want to talk about rankings that are important, you can go there. Well,
those rankings mean nothing either.
Oh, yes, they do.
You want to see what something that means nothing? How about the college basketball rankings
that
right now?
That means nothing. Yeah, that means zero. Absolutely nothing. So, no, I don't get worked up about it. You asked if we thought the Patriots are number 5 team. I said no, but... like Jason said, Brady, stop being so rigid. The rankings are really fun to see every week and give shows like yours talking points to fill showtime.
Yes.
I started with it
because I think it's interesting that he's got the Patriots fit.
That's the only thing is, you're right, it doesn't mean anything. Where there's no rankings that will decide it. The college football had all the intrigue with Clemson not being in the top 4. But no, this is just more fun stuff and the herd hierarchy, and he likes to do his rankings. I disagree with it, but it doesn't bother me at all.
America is obsessed with lists and rankings. You ever go to a bookstore? Every other book title is 7 Ways to Further Your Life.
We had a host.
12 Ways to Make Millions.
We had a host that always say, everybody loves a list.
Yes. half the book titles in this country have a number on it.
Look, you're right. And if you go on Facebook, everything is 32 ways to get rich by 30.
Yes.
15 ways to save for your retirement. But let me ask you this then. He's got the Ravens ahead of the Patriots. There gives some intrigue to me. You think the Ravens are better than the Patriots? The Ravens beat the Patriots. They walloped them all around the field. They were better on Sunday. Are they better overall?
Yes, I do. I think they're a better team than the Patriots if they played again. I would probably take the Ravens if they played in Foxborough. I would still say it's going to be a closer game than it was the first time around, and it's going to be a coin flip. And then you could decide who you want. Maybe you go with the Patriots because of the home field advantage. But I think the Ravens are a better team right now.
I think right now the Ravens are a better team because they just beat them. I mean, you can look at the loss to Cleveland. Who else did the Ravens lose to? They lost a couple of games. But
yeah, they've lost 2 games.
Yeah, and one of them I think was Cleveland.
Yes.
So I mean,
that would make them better. Dolphins could beat the Patriots. You wouldn't say the Dolphins.
No,
were better.
But do you look at? But Arnie, do you look at those rankings and do you consider what's happened in the past, or are you just saying, well, wait a minute, of course they're ahead of the Patriots. They just beat them.
No, I understand that, right, that for the ranking-wise. But just because they beat them doesn't – if the Giants had beaten the Patriots, no way we would have said that the Giants are a better team.
No,
just a one-game
but Baltimore
thing.
Just happens to be a good team. But, I mean, ESPN's got them at 2. two. The Patriots. I think two is a little high. I would have put them behind Baltimore simply because of what happened last Sunday.
Fan Ralph says if the Patriots and Ravens finish 13-3, don't the Ravens get home field?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Let me look at the Ravens' schedule. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, that's probably not going
to
happen.
They will have to go 7-1 the rest of the way.
Look, as far as that the Ravens are better, no, I don't think that they're better. Okay, I think that there are aspects of the Ravens that are better. The Ravens are better in the run game. They are a better running team than the Patriots, and they are a better kicking game team than the Patriots are, because Justin Tucker is far better than Nick Folk. I would still take Tom Brady, the player, over Lamar Jackson, the player.
Oh, no.
I would still take Tom Brady. I would still take the Patriots passing game over the Ravens passing game in totality. I would take the Patriots defense over the Ravens defense. I take the Patriots individual parts of the defense over every individual part of the Ravens defense.
And you took them all in the first time around also. How'd that work for them? Jason did agree with you. He said the consistent running game is what put the Ravens ahead of the Patriots. For me, in January, you'll need a solid running game, Brady.
Yes, but I believe that at home, which is where that game will be played, that the Patriots will win. And if I'm looking at it and saying, if they play it on a neutral field 10 times, the Patriots will win more than half of those games. The Patriots, I believe, are a better overall team than the Ravens. They have a better defense in totality, a better passing game in totality, better special teams in totality. What they do lack is they don't have as good a running game and they don't have as good a kicking game. I just listed five things. Patriots got the edge 3-2.
Well, those are, you know, your five things. First of all, look what happened the first time around. Forget about it in Foxborough. If they do the same thing to them as they did at home, they'll win the game again. Ravens' defense maybe isn't good as the Patriots' defense, but it's not far away from it. And the Ravens have a much bigger gap in offense. And they certainly run the ball 10 times better than the Patriots.
Right. No, and I just saw on Sunday night, the last thing I want to do as a Patriots fan is see them go to Baltimore again because the Ravens finished 13-3 or whatever. But I mean, we talk about going 7-1 the rest of the way. On their schedule includes home against Houston, at the Rams, home against the Niners, at Buffalo, at the Browns, home against the Steelers. I mean, if they're going to go 7-1 in those opponents, that's going to be a hell of an effort.
Especially in the division. I know Cleveland, nothing to write home about, but Cleveland's already beaten Baltimore. I understand Pittsburgh right now, nothing to write home about, but Pittsburgh's playing well of late against... Granted, they also have played against some lesser competition to do what they've done, but when you start playing in the division, on the road...
At Buffalo, too.
Let me ask you a question. Forget about who's in the AFC, who's in the NFC.
Yeah.
If I said the Patriots have to play... there's one team you don't want to play right now. What would be the top three teams if you were a Patriot fan? Ravens would be probably number one on the list, if not San Francisco.
I agree.
San Francisco, the Saints, and Ravens. I would say those are the three teams I wouldn't want to.
And some people might say, I'll put the Ravens up and I'll take my chances with Jimmy G and that offense. Then we have to deal with that. Which goes to show you how good the Ravens are.
Any team that runs the ball as well as Baltimore and San Francisco do, that would be a team that I would be hard-pressed to want to play against. However, I still think that the Patriots can beat any of those teams. And I especially think on second viewing of Lamar Jackson that they could win. Although there is an interesting stat out, because people will ultimately say, oh, you're not going to beat Belichick twice. You know, when the Patriots lose in the regular season and then see a team in the playoffs again, they're 3-6. So when they lose to a team in the regular season and then see them in the playoffs, they lose 66% of the time. That is a surprising stat. I just don't think it would be the case in this matchup with Baltimore.
I also think a team that wins twice ends up winning the third time the majority of the time, too. You know, when you play them twice in the division, you have to face them again for some reason.
Well, let's face it. A, the Patriots almost never lose at home. Could they? Of course they could to Baltimore in the playoffs in the AFC Championship or whatever. But you also have to consider the weather conditions. They're going to be able to run the ball when it's snowing and, you know, 10 degrees and high winds. I don't know. I think they'd be able to run the ball easier than pass it in those circumstances.
Wouldn't that be better for the Ravens? Because then you don't have to worry about the Patriots trying to throw the ball downfield, and they don't have a running game to rely on like the Ravens do.
Speaking of the Ravens, Lamar Jackson was talking on Inside the NFL yesterday on Showtime when he was talking about Tom Brady. He goes, quote, I know we're going to see him again, so we've just got to prepare. That would be your first mistake, kid, talking about the future as if it's indefinite.
Well,
wouldn't you agree with that there's all this talk, sports psychology. What do you hear Belichick, Brady say? I'm living in the moment. I'm living in the now. I'm focused on Cincinnati. I'm focused on this team. I'm focused on this week. I want to go 1-0 this week. I want to have a good day of practice. And here's Lamar Jackson focusing on 4 months from now, 3 months from now, talking about what's going to come in the playoffs.
I think that's a lot of talk. Because when Belichick thinks about something, I think he's thinking he's thinking about the game coming up, but he thinks in the entire season too. When he put, like you said, if you put somebody on the IR and they can't play for the next 8 weeks, they're done. He's not thinking about just for next week. He's thinking the whole second half of the season.
But he never,
he's thinking long term.
He never divulges that to anybody.
No, of course not.
It's always on to Cincinnati.
Not. That's coach speak. We're just worried about the next game. We're not worried about who we'll take on, who we play in the playoffs.
Right.
And there's nothing we can do about it. That's what they'll say.
It might be better for Lamar Jackson to say, hopefully we'll see them again. Oh. Just add an extra word in there.
I love what
Why? That's
because
worse.
Instead of
that's I would say, oh, you want to play us again? You got it, my friend.
No, but all he's doing is guaranteeing that they'll see him again. That's bulletin board material, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
I love this exchange from Monday or from Sunday night after the game when basically Belichick was asked about playing the Ravens again.
Bill, when you think about Lamar Jackson and you see him on tape and then you see him live, is there a big difference?
Good on tape.
All right, that audio is no good.
Yeah, what did he say?
Grainy. He said it looks good on tape.
The audio is no good. But basically, he says, well, what would you think about playing Jackson again? He goes, well, you know what? I'm not focused on that because right now they're not on our schedule.
No, actually,
the right answer.
No, the audio was good. You just couldn't tell. That's just the way Belichick talks. He talks like that. That was fine. That's just the way he talks.
It's good on tape.
I'm talking about more like the speed, though. You get a better sense of it when you play him. Will this help your team if they have to see him again, having played him in this circumstance?
Yeah. I don't know. Right now they're not on our schedule, so I'm not really worried about that.
That's the right answer.
I don't know. You think there's anything about football you ask this guy that he doesn't know?
I'm just saying.
He's so full of baloney.
That's the right answer. They're not on our schedule right now. That's the right answer.
Ty says, Brady, did you take your edibles? Baltimore just beat the tar out of the Patriots and dominated all facets of the game. Patriots won the passing yards, but who made the passes in the crucial moments of the game? Hint, his name rhymes with Jafar.
As in Lamar.
Well, that's a stretch.
You're not getting his
I get his humor now. Yeah.
Creativity.
Yeah, I get the creativity now. He's actually right about that, too. And CJ says, Brady, you're overreacting to one-off soundbite. I mean, Belichick, what you're talking about, the Lamar Jackson one, what Lamar Jackson said? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I'm not overreacting to it. All I'm saying is it's not – as Lamar Jackson gets older – you and more experience, he will understand that living in the moment is what everybody tries to preach and teach. And the Patriots live in the moment better than anybody. And when you start thinking about what's going to happen 3 months from now, you're going to miss what's in front of you. He's going to learn that. That is not the right answer on what you say publicly.
Unless they do meet the Patriots again.
Which they very well might.
Then he was dead on for sure. You want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Off and running on a Wednesday. Got hoops tonight, too.
Oh, boy.
Be there or be square.
Is your brother going to be there?
He's going to be there, but he says his elbow hurts him. He's not going to be shooting a lot.
Oh, good. So I don't want him on my team if I play.
Well, you do want him on your team so you can shoot more.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't need anybody's permission to shoot
more. Exactly. All right, Brady, what's coming up next?
Bruins lose north of the border last night. Was it or was it not offsides on Charlie Coyle? Here. Alert, alert, alert. We're talking hockey.
Wow. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
The huddle for Arnie.
No doubt I look like I'm 35. I look younger than everybody here.
Rich.
The light on the top of Arnie's head is a distraction.
Brady.
Oh, I see what that is. That's the Twitch stream talking to me in the background because I was playing Twitch there. So now I got to mute this. There's a lot of stuff.
It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Such a busy Wednesday. By the way, my brother went out to South Hero. I hate to tell you this, he likes North Hero better.
Oh, good. All right, that's excellent.
He says the homes are nicer.
Than in South Hero?
That's what he said.
Maybe the homes are nicer, but the commute to everywhere is further, and they're not a whole lot else out
there. It's not that much further. What, another 10 minutes?
Oh, no. North Hero is a lot more than 10 minutes from South Hero.
15-minute stop. Come on. You do this to me every time.
In a snowstorm?
Okay, yes. Let's make it a snowstorm, and the bridge goes out.
That's under construction until 2030.
My brother was asking, what bridge is being built? What bridge is that?
The Pont-Champlain going into Montreal.
Is that what it is?
It's done.
Okay, yeah,
but the problem is neither side of it. Both sides are a complete CF.
Are you talking about a bridge in Montreal or a bridge in South Hero to North Hero?
I'm talking about past. He said he saw a bridge being built out by.
Past Grand Isle, the drawbridge.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Oh, you're in Montreal. He's in North Hero. Yeah, what am I? Just refereeing this?
No, he's. But he likes North here. He says the homes are better out
He's going to especially like it in the middle of a blizzard on a Tuesday night trying to get home.
He doesn't understand that it gets windy out there. He has not a clue.
He's from Los Angeles. He's not going to be here in February.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a second home?
I don't know what. You know, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Does he get, really? He's not going to move here permanently.
No, but you know what? He wants to get out of L.A., and believe it or not, he likes Cleveland, too. I'm serious.
His daughter goes to college in Ohio.
She's going to graduate someday, I'm assuming. Yeah. She's, you know, sophomore now.
So you really think that he's going to take a liking as an L.A. guy? And I mean, he is an L.A.
Yes,
guy.
Yes, he's a big... I'm not.
He's going to take a liking to North Hero with 6 months of wind and winter?
When you're an L.A. guy, you don't take a liking to anything other than L.A.
Well, then he's going to hate North Hero.
He has no idea, but he goes, you know, when I'm on the phone with him and you hear me call him up, he can't take the traffic anymore. It's like he turns into like a monster. He's cursing. I'm hearing him on the phone, screaming, giving people the finger. And this is some lady. I mean, and he just can't take it anymore. The traffic is killing
the
him.
The only traffic in North Hero is at the marina and at Hero's Welcome with people crossing the street to have lunch.
Marina was awesome. We did one of those cornhole tournaments from the summer up at the marina in North Hero. It was beautiful. You could bring your boat to the bar.
That's what
awesome.
He wants. He wants a boat. He wants to fish.
I can see him getting stuck at a cow crossing on Route 2 and just swearing up a storm. Get out of the road!
Yeah, he was mad because there was traffic going in the Five Corners. He goes, what is this? What is this? What's going on here?
There's cars here.
There's cars. What are you doing, man?
Well, then if he finds Five Corners to be obnoxious, maybe North Hero is the place
for him. Well, you find Five Corners to be obnoxious.
I don't use it anymore. I don't have to deal with that life anymore.
Brady, get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms on Heineberg Drive in Colchester. All right, Bruins lost yesterday. There's a rare sight lately, okay?
Yes.
So they lose to the Canadiens, final score 5-4. But really, the game was just marred by the controversial call in the third period. So game was tied at 4. Charlie Coyle appeared to score the game go-ahead goal that would have given the Bruins a 5-4 lead. After a 3-minute review, he was eventually called for offsides. And look, it is very, very negligible. It is extremely close play. You can find the full video of the play on 1013thegame.com and on our social media channels. For all of you people that accuse us of never talking hockey, here's your chance to get in. Kevin and Champlain and all the others that want hockey talk, was it offsides last night? And I'll just start with this because if you don't have the play right in front of you, there's kind of two pieces to this play.
Right.
So there's a long pass up the center of the ice.
The right wing.
That eventually comes to Charlie Coyle on the right wing.
Yep.
He plays it off of his skate. It does not touch his stick. He kicks it off the back of his skate to in front of him. The first question is, one, do you believe that Charlie Coyle's body and all his skates and everything passed the blue line prior to the puck?
Yes.
Most of us agree yes on that.
Yep.
So when we look at it, we say, yes, it's offsides. The right call was eventually made.
Correct.
Where the problem comes in, or where the controversy comes in for people, is that there is a rule in the NHL rulebook that if a player has control of the puck, they are allowed to cross the blue line prior to the puck. So basically negating offsides. The question is does Charlie Coyle playing the puck off of his skate, never touching it to his stick, count as control of the puck? I disagree. I think the right call was made. We all agree it was offsides.
It's funny, but Shaden Burlington says, even as a Habs fan, the Coyle call annoyed me. At no point was he offside.
Offside. Oh, yes. He absolutely was offside.
Offside review has gotten out of control. Reviewing something that could have happened 3 or 4 minutes prior just seems stupid. And that's something else. We'll probably get into that also. But I thought he was offsides because he was in the zone before the puck did. Now, Brady, I didn't know, I'll be honest, I didn't know about where you're allowed to be offsides if you're handling the puck with your stick. I don't know. I find that where you can just skate in without the puck. Is that what you're saying? You can skate in without the puck and then bring in the puck
If you have control of the puck, and this is Jack Edwards, Bruins broadcaster, was all over this during the game and on Twitter as well. If you have control of the puck, you are allowed to be offsides by those fraction of
A fraction? Because I've never seen anybody drag the puck in behind them with a stick. That's why I didn't understand that part of it. Kevin says, sadly, he was offsides. He was offsides. I don't like using the review because, I mean, look, if we're going to use it, you used it to exactly what it had to be done. You showed to the exact millimeter or whatever it was, Rich.
Well, that's the thing. And I love the fact, as much as you know how much I hate replays and slowing down the process and pace of sporting events, but I like the idea that you can sort of, quote, throw the flag on a play like this. But now you're stuck where you have a replay. But there's a gray area. It isn't. The question isn't, was his skate in before the puck? Because, yes, it was. And, I mean, it's an inch, but it is in. You can clearly see that part of it is offsides. But now you have this gray area on a replay where does he have control of the puck? And as a Bruins fan, surprise, surprise, I'm going to say that gray area leads me to believe he doesn't, because the puck is not on his stick. In fact, it's not even near his stick.
Isn't it one leg could be in, but not the whole body? Yes.
Yes, but this was both of his skates, his whole body was over the blue line.
Exactly. By literally an inch. The replay clearly shows his skates in first.
And it's funny you say that, too, by an inch, because you're right. It's a extremely small amount that he's actually offside.
No different than somebody running along a sideline or stepping out of bounds on the baseline. An inch is an inch, right?
Correct. So I'm getting to that point.
And that's the black and white part, but the gray area comes with puck possession.
Well, people will say, though, oh, the rule wasn't intended for this. The challenge was there to, like pass interference, it was there to correct the egregious call, not the call that's by a fraction of an inch. And I say, look, in baseball, if it hits one bit, if it hits the foul line by one speck of grass, then it's a fair ball, and we expect it to be called by one speck of grass.
Right.
Same thing in football, if the guy's going to step out of bounds.
Right.
It should be called this way in hockey, too. I'm sorry you don't appreciate being called tightly or to the letter of the law, but that was true. And then the other question is this. So I have a problem in baseball. The one rule in baseball that I can't get my head around is this. So let's just say guy slides into second base. He kind of jumps off the bag for a second. The guy holds the glove on him, and they call him out. And they say, well, come on. He just slid into the bag. You know, his leg popped up for a half second. That's not what it's for. Well, okay, if you're not going to do it for a half second, well, or, you know, if it's 1 inch off the bag, well, when's the line where you're allowed to call it? 3 inches off the bag? 5 inches off the bag?
1 inch is off the bag.
Yeah, so 1 inch is off the bag.
Just like this play yesterday. It was 1 millimeter over the line, but it was offsides. And as far as having control of the puck, I didn't think he had control of the puck. He did not play it off his stick. He never had it on his stick. I think the rule about having control of the puck, there is a part in the rule book, and trust me, I had people on Twitter, thankfully, sending me the rule book. I found the rule book. You can have control of the puck by playing it off your skate, but when it never touches your stick, it doesn't feel to me like you ever had firm control of
it. And that's exactly what my thought was on it, too. And, I mean, Jack Edwards, of course, came out pro-Bruins on this. You knew he would. But he says, a player is allowed to enter the zone before the puck if he is in possession and control of the puck. Then he goes, and that's true. But then he goes on to say, if playing the puck with one skate and traveling with a puck between one skates is not possession and control, what is? See, that's the gray area for me. The puck is not on his stick, or even close to his stick, when he goes over the line. So even as a Bruins fan, I can't give him that one.
My buddy Dennis, who's the hockey coach at Rice, says,
"Oh,
yeah, you can go in backwards and have the puck on your stick and control before the puck goes in. The puck on his skate is not control. It was offsides."
So
he's saying the same thing.
And what's crazy, too, when you get into the rule book, you can have possession of the puck without having established control of the puck. And that's kind of what I saw yesterday. I think it's pretty clear that Charlie Coyle has possession of the puck, but I don't believe that he has control of the puck. And the rule book allows for two different definitions there. Possession and control are two different things. And I know we all hate the idea of the catch rule in football, but this pass comes to Coyle immediately to his stick, tic-tac-toe, pass, stick, and then or pass, skate, and then in front of him. I look at it and say, like, okay, you know, he didn't have a football move. Like, there was no hockey move to it. Didn't go to his skate after or to his stick afterwards. It just didn't feel to me.
Rams fan Ralph brought up the opposite point. He goes, isn't this the perfect example why we do need replay? Isn't this?
I like this play.
Right. I mean, that whether you like it or not, isn't this exactly what we need it for?
Yes.
To see if you're caught a millimeter offsides or not.
A lot of the problem was with the length of the review, which took 3 minutes. Bruce Cassidy was upset about that. Scott in Plattsburgh, one of our listeners, says he was there last night at the Bell Center. He said the length of the review was the problem. Greg Hill, radio host on WEEI on their morning show, he says the NFL NHL should be embarrassed about this.
The NHL should be embarrassed by their offside rule. Absolutely embarrassed. It cost the Bruins a win last night, clearly.
Great job by Claude.
Coaches and teams, Ken, are saved by a challenge on a 2 second 1.5 second moment that had absolutely nothing to do with the eventual outcome of the play.
What do you mean it had nothing to do with the play? They were offside. They illegally entered the zone. There are rules for reasons. I mean, are you allowed to go 90 miles an hour on the highway? No.
According to Wiggy, yes.
Do referees not have eyes? I mean, can we not allow them to?
It's too fast for real time, and sitting on your couch can see it on the replay, so they need help.
Wow, that first guy's out of his mind.
That's Greg Hill, the host of WEEI. His cohorts there are on our side.
Yeah.
That look, it's unfortunate that it went that way for the Bruins, but if the Bruins lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year and that goal had been allowed to stand for St. Louis, you'd be completely the opposite.
He's right where it could have, not this play particular, but there are points where it had nothing to do with the play. Let's say Coyle doesn't score, skates around with the puck, goes back in his zone, gets speed, comes back up again, and does it again. The first thing had nothing to do with him scoring, coming in and scoring again. It has nothing to do with the first time.
Well, the other thing he said that's ridiculous is that absolutely positively cost the Bruins the game. No, it didn't. I mean, Tuukka Rask couldn't stop anything last night. And then Sherratt scored. It would have made it 5-5, and who knows what would have happened after that.
It was 4-4 when they took away the goal. It's still anybody's game at that point.
Right. I mean, well, wouldn't have that made it 5-4 Bruins?
Yes, this goal would have made it 5-4 Bruins.
And then Sherratt would have scored. It's 5-5, and you go to overtime. I mean, would have, could have, should have. But, I mean, that's ridiculous for him to just make an assumptive statement like that, just saying, well, it absolutely cost them the game.
No
it didn't.
Ty said the 1,000% the right call. He was offsides, didn't have the puck control. A puck in your skates does not constitute control of it.
It does constitute, but see, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just think about it like this. This would never happen because I know people are going to get near you, but if I've got the puck for 10 seconds of control and I'm just playing it off my stick, now I'm going to pass it back and forth to myself with my skate, then I would say I have control of it because I've shown for a period of time that I've actually held the puck.
Right, he never touched it with his stick.
This goes the pass directly to the skate and nothing else, and that's it. I don't believe he had control of it in this case.
He didn't, but he was clearly using his skate, as they do 100 times a night, to control the puck. That being said, I don't think you can call it control of the puck when it's nowhere near his stick.
I think he was trying to gain control of the puck. I don't think he had control of it already.
Matt says controlling a pass by kicking it from your skates to your stick shows control and possession.
I disagree with that. But you're right. That is the gray area. Yeah. I disagree with it.
D-Mac says, holy homerism, boys. Nearly Jack Edwards-esque. Play was offside.
We all three of us just said the Bruins got what they deserved.
Haven't all three of us said it was offside?
Possibly say anything more the opposite of the truth.
CJ says, I like replay, but hate stopping games for minutes at a time to review things.
Right.
I'm to the point where if you can't overturn based on one or two looks at full speed replay, keep the call that was made. If you're having to look back at freeze frame to make a call, it's not conclusive. Oh, that's not true, because we love it in football.
Yes.
We want to know, zoom in so I can see if he's stepped out of bounds. Zoom on that one.
Yeah, let's zoom in and see if one fraction of the football crossed the plane of the goal line. Yeah, I agree. Look, I don't like it as a fan. When there are five-minute reviews, you're right, it does break up the flow of the game. It's hard for you as someone sitting at home. It's hard for you when you're in the stadium. But at the end of the day, if the call gets made correctly, then I have to appreciate that.
That took me 5 seconds and two replay looks to realize that puck was over before the skate was over before the puck was. The problem with the length of it was the decision by the replay official as to whether he had possession. I mean, it took you 10 seconds to figure out whether it was offside in the old ruling of the traditional offside.
All right. Top Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. They said, what's next? You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
You haven't done
T.com.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What did he say?
I think Eli is the most disrespected quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He really said that?
Baker's not even a good NFL quarterback yet.
It's they said what?
I just want to watch a game without it being interrupted.
On the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Everybody, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on a Wednesday. It's a hump that's nice outside, you told me.
Yeah, right? I just went out in the lobby and got blinded by the sun. It's a beautiful thing.
90% chance of snow tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm hearing we're going to get 1 to 3?
Yeah, 1 to 3 inches. I was flurrying today.
Bring it on. Let's go. I'm ready.
I was flurrying this morning. Look, it's a little too early. I'll say this, too. It's a little too early for snow, but that doesn't offend me as much as this. In addition to being the fan police, I'm also the holiday police. Right. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'll stand up on the soapbox at the meeting and say, I'm Brady Farkas. I have the fan police problem, and I also am the holiday police. I saw in my complex the other day, Christmas lights and a Christmas tree in someone's apartment. It was November 3rd at this time.
Wow.
If you do Christmas before Thanksgiving, we can't be friends.
No, you can't. You have to wait till after Thanksgiving to start that.
And at what point does the tree become so dry it just catches on fire?
It's fake. It doesn't matter.
Oh, all right. Okay.
If you do Christmas decorations, Christmas music, all that before Thanksgiving, we can't be friends. I'm sorry.
Or certainly before November 10th.
No. Before Thanksgiving.
Well, you might want to talk to the guys over on the other side of the window, because I think it starts up any time now.
November 22nd, our sister station is starting Thanksgiving
music. Now, wait a minute.
Or Christmas music. I have a problem with that, too.
So, if you know, because all the sales are starting now. They'll say the pre-holiday sales. Or you'll indulge with that, though. That's fine. Don't save some money, right?
I won't go there in Rudolph ears, like no, but Rudolph just like, antlers.
Well, then we have this Christmas savings. I'll go ahead and enjoy that on November 10th, right? That's okay.
You do realize as soon as Star 92.9 starts playing Christmas music, the ratings go through the roof immediately.
Look, and that's great for them. I don't work for Star 92.9. I don't do Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but you share a Christmas party with them.
Yes, in December, at a time when Christmas is actually in the air, November 3rd.
Christmas is in the air for me about the 23rd of December.
I just want you to repeat what you said, please.
What?
That ratings go through the roof when you play Christmas
music. Yes, they do.
Because I don't want our talent taking credit. All right, Brady, let's get to the... How come they wouldn't find that funny? I don't know. Brady, let's get to They Said What. Go ahead.
They Said What?
How about Dan Patrick picking up where we ended our show yesterday? DP show 9 to noon every day. Is there a possibility that the Chargers could move to London? Dan doesn't think so. Here's one of the reasons why.
Are they going to draw more people in London than they would in Los Angeles?
I was just thinking that. Would you rather play in front of 33,000 people in a 75,000-seat building in Los Angeles and just have everyone point out every year, nobody cares, nobody cares, nobody cares? It feels like the Clippers of the early 80s when the Lakers were rolling. Or you can go to London and be a novelty, a focal point.
But you have to live there.
Super.
No, you don't want to be living there London? With your family. It's fun to visit London. But now all of a sudden, Philip Rivers and his 14 kids, now they got to get in school systems over there. What happens at the end of the year?
With the metric system, he's only got like 8 kids, I think.
So
that was funny.
Look, I don't buy this whole thing. I understand that there probably are ways to logistically make it happen in terms of the team could play 4 home games in a row, 4 road games in a row, have a home base in the U.S. That stuff logistically could probably happen. I'm less concerned about the Chargers and their travel and their sleep cycle and all that than I am the opponents who go over to London consistently and then have to play the week after. How do they handle it? And then also the idea that, what, the Chargers are going to start off their season with 4 consecutive road games and finish out, be 1-3, or they're going to end
it. Is it just yours about the travel, or do you just have a problem? Because you know, we have Canada, obviously, with the Toronto Raptors, and obviously in baseball, with the Blue Jays and stuff. I just wondering, you know, it works in other countries also, just the travel's a little too far.
Yes, I have a major problem with the travel and the impact that causes.
I mean, it's just sort of like the University of Hawaii football team. I mean, you know, they play almost all home games, don't they?
No.
Most years?
No,
I thought they played mostly home games.
They travel and they play their share and they travel far.
Because, I mean, if you're...
Hell yeah.
I mean, if you're Texas... That's like a cross-country flight to go to Hawaii from Texas. It doesn't look like it on the map, but it is time-wise.
Yeah, but that's probably more of like a preseason game.
Right.
They're in a conference.
I only bring that up because Texas and
Hawaii.
Well, they play that Chaminade tournament every year, and everybody comes from all over the country.
Right, but then you're there out for, you're only making one trip out there, and you're out there for a week or so.
Right, but I get it. But you talk about home field advantages with the Chargers, and people have to come 7, 8, 9, 10 hours on a plane to get there. But doesn't Hawaii sort of have that advantage, too?
What advantage when they have to go on the road and go to Boise or whatever the hell they have to do? You know what I mean?
Hawaii plays a very, very West Coast schedule, but, I mean, still, they're traveling back and forth from Hawaii. I think that was a fair point. You should have just stuck with that before you started talking about Chaminade.
Central Arkansas? That's a haul.
Arizona played them this year, the first game of the year. Arizona went out there. Biggest mistake of our life.
Yes, and they lost. Yeah. 45-38. Arizona did.
38? Oh, football.
Okay. Yeah, football. Yeah. We got tackled on the one-yard line.
Hey, remember, tomorrow night we're going to be out at Reuben James. So Reuben James in Burlington will have Thursday night football between the Chargers and Raiders. We'll also have basketball on all the TVs, hockey as well. Celtics are playing. The Charlotte Hornets, old friend Terry Rozier, will be in that game. So 7:30, that game will start at on 960 The Zone. We'll have it on the radio. But in person, Reuben James, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that tomorrow night.
Because you're bringing your brother out.
And, well, I think he has a little bit, he may get into a little bit of a scrap with somebody.
With Ken Kreitz?
With Ken Kreitz.
Yeah, because of the fantasy
football. My brother thinks he's the world's best fantasy football player ever. And, of course, Ken Kreitz wrote a wire right up there also.
Well, last place last year.
Yeah, but, you know, my brother says he's the number one guy in all the world of fantasy football. The whole world.
A scrap at
the
RJ's.
Whole world, Rich. Well, the whole damn world.
Start throwing wings at each other. That
because
would be
I want to meet this Ken Kreitz guy.
Horrible waste.
Who says he's number one?
So he's already trash talking and he's even arrived yet.
He thinks he's the best. He was doing fantasy. He goes, do you do fantasy football homework like this where you're, you know, reading and doing stuff? I'm like, no, I don't care that much to do it. It doesn't interest me that much. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get you ready for the top four and four. All that's coming up. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Game. Join the conversation now and be part of the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the call.
At 802-655-6672.
Right.
It's the huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game. Busy Wednesday. Just so everybody knows, I don't think people know this enough, so I want to go and bring this back up.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to go to the Bahamas with my wife this week. I said, no.
No, you haven't brought that up.
It's the first time I've heard this.
I'm going to stay here and do the show with the guys, so no Bahamas for you. And my brother, and you've heard this before, wants me to come with him to Brooklyn in two or three Fridays from now. So I can go see David Nwamba play for Brooklyn, and Luke Walton's going to be the coach on the other side for when they play Sacramento. Ooh. So he has like about 20 or 30 passes.
You should go.
Shouldn't be too hard to find passes for a game against Sacramento.
Wow.
Just saying. And then, the Knicks might. Who is it, the Knicks?
No, they're playing the Nets.
Oh, okay, yeah, whatever.
The Nets and...
And Sacramento.
And Sacramento. So
that showdown.
I would have to fly down there. I can't even drive and then fly back and take like a Saturday off too.
You should do it.
I don't want to do it.
Okay, of course you don't.
Why do you always bring this stuff up and then never follow through?
Well, because I got to work on weekends too.
You're going to be on your deathbed someday and think,
well, thank you, Rich.
Why in the world did I miss so many things that I wanted to do?
Thank you. I got to stop working weekends now. That's what I've got to do.
Can I have a do-over?
Yeah. But you know what? Again, I would go with my brother. It would be fun. But I mean, to fly down there for a day and then get a hotel. And everything's expensive. He's paying for everything. I don't care.
Well, then all the more reason to do it. I'll go.
He's like,
is he going to pay for a room for me?
He said, bring a friend. He goes, he said, who did we play ball with on Monday? I said, Stevie B's. He goes, bring Stevie.
There you go. I'd go anywhere to see the Sacramento Kings.
And I thought my story at the top of the hour was exciting.
What was yours? Believe me, it was volcanic compared to his.
Well, I was going to tell you, did you happen to hear me last night, the new voice of the UVM women's basketball pregame show on WVMT, our sister station,
yeah,
last night?
Did you hear that,
no,
Rich?
What happened?
You didn't hear this story?
No.
Oh, this was great. So we're in here. I'm in here at, you know, whatever. It's like 6:15. The women's basketball game starts at 6:30 on WVMT. So Aaron is in here. He's running the equipment for it, engineering everything. And he goes, hey, Maura, who's the broadcaster for UVM women, she goes, hey, there's an internet snafu at Dartmouth, and we can't get on the air. And so Aaron's calling Jamie, the engineer, and he's talking with Maura about, okay, what buttons can we press?
Surprised you didn't call me.
Yeah, of course. So but then all of a sudden, it's like 6:26.
Oh, no.
And
wow.
Maura's like, okay, I think we're on the air. I got to be on at 6:30. I think we're good. And the internet still wasn't fixed at Dartmouth. So who had to step in from this studio, from our 40th and Allen studios in Colchester, and take over UVM women's basketball pregame with no research, with nothing but the one website in front of me. I did 20 minutes worth of UVM basketball pregame, totally off the cuff. And to be honest with you, given the circumstances, I didn't think it was half bad.
I would have just made up names. I go, Martha's a really good player.
Susie can really kick some butt.
Watch out for Joni. She's going to get more playing time this year.
Joni, what is this, 1958? Joni.
How about Ruthie and Gertrude? It's like 1920.
Lindsay, is that better? Yes. Throw a Lindsay there.
How about
there?
Tiffany?
Tiffany? Yes.
Nicole?
Candy Apple?
Monique.
What do you want me to say? Come on now. Come on, what's wrong with you?
I don't actually know a woman named Candy Apple.
No, I do not.
I saw a movie with her in it many years ago.
I thought it wasn't half bad considering I had to step in relief with no with no real prior knowledge other than my limited just knowledge, what I had working knowledge.
I want to hear this. Do you have any of that?
Aaron might have saved it somewhere. I'm sure he probably did.
What would happen if you had to do the? You couldn't have done the play-by-play. It wasn't on TV.
If the game truly, if they never got the internet fixed, then I would have gone to the internet stream and just announced it from the television.
Suppose like, what's her name again? Moore, you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Suppose she would have said, she would have whispered in your ear and you would have got on the microphone. All right, Brady, they just made one from three-point land. And they make one from three-point land.
I think it was number 16.
No, because the internet wasn't working to the point where
she would have called you up on your phone, held one phone to your ear and the other one.
I'll tell you what, I've done a lot of football games in my cell phone over the years.
When I first started, Jeff Biggs and I were partners and he would do play-by-play of a high school football game. And I go, can I do a quarter? And he goes, no, you can't do. You're just the color analyst.
Right.
And he would do it on the telephone and then hand me the phone. I go, wow, what a great play. And then I'd hand the phone right back to him. It was ridiculous.
It was
stupid.
I mean, almost every year, at least once, I end up, although this year it didn't happen, surprisingly. The connections went perfectly everywhere. It's shocking. But usually there's a situation where you're doing the whole game in your cell phone.
Todd has a comment for you. He goes, somehow I don't think anyone will ever be on their deathbed saying, I wish I had gone to the Nets in Sacramento, okay?
Well, good point, Todd.
Maybe on their deathbed wishing they had heard Brady do UVM women's basketball pregame.
Yeah,
so
that would have been true. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get to whatever
get something.
Well, I could say the top four, but I don't know if we had the mistake of the day or trivia's tonight, so Rich is going to be at trivia tonight.
7 to 9 p.m. for trivia. We are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013thegame. Give us a like, give us a follow, and you'll get a notification every time we go live.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything, every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3, The Game.
And remember, the top four at four is thanks to Grazer's Restaurant at Maple Tree Place, Williston and Main Street in St. Albans. You can order online at grazersvt.com. Love those burgers there. Also, last time I was there, I had a pulled pork sandwich. Phenomenal. Agave Taco Tequila Casa, also Maple Tree Place. It's $3 Margarita Wednesday. And remember, they serve brunch on Sundays 10 until 2 p.m. You can order online at agavevt.com. Now, top four at four.
Number four.
Celtics won last night, 119-113 over the Cavaliers. Gordon Hayward, 39 points. Let me just say this. In the 3 years and 2 months
here we go.
To the day that I've been doing this show,
yes.
Maybe no singular storyline
yes.
has made me more happy
than Gordo.
Than what will become the season-long just spitting in the face of Arnie Spanier by Gordon Hayward.
Well, let's see him do it again. But
here's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want nothing more this season. Then for Gordon Hayward to average 20-plus points, for Gordon Hayward to add 7 rebounds on his average, for him to average 5 assists, for him to win Comeback Player of the Year, for him to make the All-Star Game, for him to get the Comeback Player of the Year trophy and bring it down Church Street and then plop it on your house in a box field in Williston and present it to you with the Arnie Spanier trophy
then
case.
You know what? He would owe me a lot. A couple things on this. Can we say that I was wrong when Gordon has one great game? That's like me saying to Brady, you know what? I had a really great show on Monday. I think I'm just going to miss Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I only need to do one great show out of five.
Well,
that's all
minute.
I really need to do.
All right, let's go down the games he's played this year. Well, he had one game where he had 9.
Listen to me.
But that's it. 39, 13, 21. He's averaging 20 points a game.
Okay,
come on.
This has been a long time coming. I've been ragging on him last year. And the year before.
Well, he got hurt the year before.
And he has not lived up to expectations. I'm curious to see if the listeners think that I now owe Gordon Hayward an apology because he had 39 points last night. I would say Top Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672.
I would say a month from now, if he's still averaging 20 points,
today.
You absolutely
shows today.
You absolutely are. Yeah.
He is averaging 20.3 points per game,
and he leads the team in rebounding.
He had 8 rebounds.
And did you hear what he said?
Or 7 assists, 8 rebounds.
Did you hear what he said? He actually agrees with me. He goes, he told his teammates, please stop dousing me with water every time I have a good game. Because that, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's why he got a $115 million contract? That's why he got, roll your eyes all you want. If he was making $1 million a year, I wouldn't be bringing up his name for crying out loud.
They weren't really planning on him snapping his ankle in 5 pieces.
Look, that's my fault. That's my fault that he snapped his ankle. Huh?
7 rebounds, 8 assists last night. He's the team's best playmaker overall in terms of scoring and ability.
He had a great 16 out of 16 from 2-point range.
Yeah,
right?
Amazing.
Yeah, 16 of 16 from 2. He was he was 9 of 9 in the first half, I think. He had a putback bucket that solidified the win. You owe Gordon Hayward an apology because you can now at least acknowledge it wasn't all physical last year. It was mental as well with him. He's over that hurdle mentally, which has allowed him to play.
If it was mental, he owes me an apology. Nick in Plattsburgh says, Hayward had a good game against the terrible Cavs. Hold your horses, Brady. They couldn't even cover the spread. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Heidi says if Arnie hurt his ankle the same way Hayward did, he still wouldn't be working today.
You'd think the way you walk around this building, you did have a snapped ankle.
That might be true. Arnie, no apology necessary. We're used to you being wrong regularly on the program. Who wrote that one? I can't see the name.
That was Zach in Bristol.
Zach in
good
Bristol.
One, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
But Matt in Bristol says, this is a good one. This is even better, actually. He goes, there's no comeback player of the year award. There haven't been one since the 80s. Good. We can name it the Gordon Hayward Award, and we can bring it back to life, and he can win it first and have it named for him forever.
Or the Arnie Spanier Comeback Award.
That's what it should be.
And have it brought. He can have the ceremony right there in your kitchen in Williston, in your box.
Matt says, I agreed all along, Hayward. Well, I don't want to read that.
Sucks.
Yeah, he's not good. Hashtag
Team
Arnie.
You can't say sucks on the air.
Rams fan Ralph, Arnie apologized for nothing. What good game is just that's not how Gordon Jordan rolls or whatever.
No, he says he's not Gordo Jordan.
Yeah, okay. Dean says, Arnie, I told you last year he needed the season to mentally come back from an injury like that. I had the same type of injury. It's a process. Well, I mean, but what were we going to say? Just every time he had a bad game last year, we were just going to overlook it and say it's okay, it's part of the mental process.
But that was, I don't know, but I mean,
let me tell you something. Criticizing him was part of the mental process to make him tougher. Well, that's why I made him tougher.
That's why I'm not getting too crazy about last night, because last year we saw so many 23 point games out of him, and then he put up 2 the next
39,
night.
39 is tied for his career high.
That's a lot.
He'll never have that again this year, I promise you that.
He got to the
I said that Sam won't have double digit wins.
Look, he got to the bucket with ease. He finished with both hands. Yep. He finished around the rim. It was a willingness to get to the rim. He's playing not only that the shots went in, he's playing a different way than he did a year ago. Physically, he is stronger and capable of doing these things, but mentally, he's able and willing, and that's the most encouraging sign.
I had 10 points last night. All right, that's come on. Look, I had 10 points last night. That's how easy it was.
Against the exact same defense. Yeah,
I was in there. Gordo gave me a couple of assists.
Fat 70-year-olds.
Brady, I think you could have had 10 points if you were playing in the game. That's how easy it was. But you're right. It was a great game by him. Now he's got to, you know, keep it up for at least 2 or 3 games in a row. Let's see him. You know, he won't get that type of.
By the way, did you see Carson Edwards last night? That's my boy.
He had 13, had 3 threes off the bench.
13 in 15 minutes.
They had 12 blocks yesterday as a team. Celtics did.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Tice had 5 alone.
He had as many blocks as points.
So, Celtics won. They continue to play well. They'll play again on Thursday against the Hornets. Top 4 at 4, 101.3 the game.
Number 3.
NFL news, New York Giants, and it's not good news. Tight end Evan Ingram's not going to play on Sunday against the Jets. He's got an ankle sprain. There was thoughts of it being a lot more serious. It looks like it might just be this week and beyond, but beyond will kind of figure it out. But right now, he's not going to play Sunday against the Jets. Giants probably going to have to sign a tight end just to be able to fill out the rest of the roster. So this hurts for a Giants team that badly needs a win.
Are the Giants still playing? Didn't forfeit the rest of the season?
Ugh.
If you're a New Yorker, you don't want to care about the Jets. You don't care about the Giants. I mean, there's no interest there whatsoever. It's like no Knicks, No Brooklyn Nets. What do you got to root for?
Yankees.
You know, let's wait for the Yankees to get back going again. It's a terrible time in New York.
I started thinking that the New York sports scene was starting to turn the corner a little bit. It looked like it. The Mets had that role when they won like 19 of 20 or some ridiculous thing. And the Yankees, of course, played well all year. I thought, well, maybe this is it. The Giants are going to get better. Jets are going to get better with Darnold.
The Islanders are good.
Oh, that's true. The Islanders are playing well.
The Nets have Kyrie.
Islanders are playing well. They are. They won 10 games in a row.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
They won again last night. They beat up on Ottawa.
Wow. You knew the final score of the Islanders-Ottawa game?
Well, I just said they beat up on. Was it 6-2 or something?
Wow. I don't know the score, but that was number 10 in a row for them. Yeah, they're on damn fire.
I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I'm disappointed to see Ingram not play because one of the nice stories of this season had been his continued development. I mean, look, he had that huge game week one against Dallas. He hasn't quite replicated that again, but he's... Just the idea that he's been there and been largely healthy, he's someone that Daniel Jones, I've wanted to see them gain a rapport with. Because that early season showing against Dallas was with Eli Manning. So
I just want to say, for a split second, I thought we were still talking about Gordon Hayward. I'm like, dude, out of the Giants. I'm like, enough with the Giants. I thought we were still talking about Hayward. Go ahead.
No, I know.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know exactly where you just took that.
We did
number three. Yes. Did you not hear number three?
No, I did. My whole point was that I'm so over the Jets and the Giants. I'm done with them. Like I said, people in New York, they don't want to worry about football now.
Okay, well, top four. Four.
Number two.
Our own Colin Cowherd has the Patriots listed at number five in his herd hierarchy. Look, I disagree with them being number five. I think they're better than Dallas, who he's got ahead of them at number four. But ultimately, the rankings don't mean a whole lot to me. All I think about is, do the Patriots have a chance to win the Super Bowl? Yes, they have a chance. Do they have a good chance to win the Super Bowl? Yes. And do they have a great chance to win the Super Bowl? And that answer is yes. They have the easy division. They have a easy end of the season schedule. When you look at Cincinnati, when you look at Buffalo at home, when you look at Miami, they're going to be favored in all three of those games to end the season. They're going to have an opportunity to get the number one seed, to get the first round bye, and they're going to have the opportunity to only have to win two playoff games to get back to the Super Bowl. And that, to me, means a whole lot more than where Colin ranks them here in November.
It's so funny because you say power rankings have no meaning whatsoever, right?
Yes, they have no
zero meaning.
Yes, zero.
They'll be afraid to say it.
They're fun
zero,
fodder.
Right. That's
zero.
Right.
In college, they matter. No, in the NFL, of course
NFL,
not.
They mean zero. So if Lamar Jackson said, let me tell you my power rankings. I got us number one and the Patriots at number seven. And it has no meaning whatsoever. You don't think that would be bulletin board material
for
the Patriots?
Who?
The Patriots at number seven. You don't think the Patriots would be going, oh, he has us at number seven. Then all of a sudden it means everything in the world, doesn't it?
Okay, because Lamar Jackson,
of course. It just goes to show you, even though it has no meaning, if Lamar Jackson said it, then the Patriots throw their hands up, oh, we think we're number seven. That's the biggest insult ever in our entire lives. It all of a sudden has all the meaning in the world.
Well, it's a lot different to them than what it is to me. It means nothing to me, which is what I said. It means nothing to me.
But America loves their lists, and Colin likes to stir things up. So he's like, all right, how about if I put, since everyone, you know, Dallas polarizes everyone, so you know what, I'm going to put the Cowboys ahead of the Patriots. That'll get a reaction. And poof, here we are.
Yep.
When I look at Dallas, I see a team. It's hard to believe. I was shocked in doing that research for Monday night that Dallas had the most yards per game on offense, like 437 yards per game. That completely shocked me, because when I think of Dallas, I think of them as being a run-first team with Ezekiel Elliott and a team that takes a handful of shots to Amari Cooper and then also can get some possession plays with Jason Witten. I don't think of the Cowboys as a big play offense, but they have been a big play offense this year.
I mean, just take the teams you put ahead of the Patriots. You said the Cowboys, they've lost three games in a row. The Saints, they lost their quarterback. San Francisco, Jimmy G's only been there for like a cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? There's not all these teams that are ahead of them. They're not doing with the traditional great Tom Brady type quarterback. They've all gone through, except for maybe San Francisco. You could say, but we don't really know what Jimmy G is. He's only, 18, 19 games as a starter.
Well, let's face it, though. Whatever list you want to look at, it's completely different. None of them are the same. ESPN power rankings today have the Patriots at 2. Collins got him at 5. I mean, ESPN power rankings have Dallas at 11. Colin has them in the top 5.
It's why we love the NFL, because it's so subjective. And look, power rankings are fun. I enjoy reading them. I'm just saying, the radio hosts that get worked up about them, I'm not willing to go to that place. I'd much rather tell you about how Christmas doesn't belong before Thanksgiving than I would look at Colin's top 5. Top 4 at 4, 101.3 The Game.
Number 1.
Well. The Bruins were beaten by the Canadiens last night north of the border, but controversy marred the game in the third period. Charlie Coyle called for offsides, and a lot of people not thrilled with that call, but it just so happens that these three radio hosts agree it was the right call. And it looked like the right call on all ways to me, guys. One, he certainly crossed the blue line prior to the puck. Instantly, yes. Textbook, right off the bat, textbook offside.
Very close, but yes.
If you want to then say, well, you could show me the rule book, and if you want to say, well, if you have control of the puck, you're allowed to go in just a little bit early. He had control of the puck. No, he didn't. He did not have control of the puck. He played the puck off of his skate, and it looked really cool, and I believe he knew what he was doing. But when you tap the puck immediately off the pass to your skate, that doesn't count as control to me. If you want to see the whole play, you can on our Facebook page, 101.3 The Game.
Even you said Cassidy was only mad that it took a long time. He wasn't mad that it was a wrong call or anything like
that.
He didn't say that it was... a good play, and that this is the wrong call.
He's upset that. Here's exactly what he said after the game. Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy addressing the call after the game.
Listen, my beef with that, some are going to go your way, some not. Ours are not going our way lately, but I assume that they will straighten out over the course of time. But the rule was put in place specifically for egregious. So they're over there for 3 minutes. You think, well, you know, what is the purpose of this rule? You know, either you find something or you don't. 3 minutes. So now you're looking for something for it to be offside. So, you know it's going to go the other way. And it did. That's where my beef comes from. The intent of the rule. You always want to get it right. But, you know, there was kind of a change this summer punishing the coaches if they got it wrong for this reason. They didn't want 3-minute reviews. So, anyway, it was a big part of the game. Didn't go our way. So, that's the way it goes some nights.
You know what I don't like about that comment? Everything was fine about one thing. He didn't say, the rule was pick a person. You either want to blame the officials or blame the NHL. And you should be blaming the NHL the way he was talking. That's who you have the problem with about the 3 minutes, but that was totally under the rules. If you're going to say it, pick a group. Either you want to say these officials were horrible, they shouldn't have taken 3 minutes, that was egregious, or say the NHL shouldn't have not put this rule in place because it's only for egregious errors. This was wrong, the NHL has to revisit it. Pick a side. Pick a team that you want to go against there.
Well, the thing, the implementation of replay is for black and white calls, just like in football. Is it or is it not?
Yes.
And the black and white portion of that was, yes, it was offside. Maybe by an inch, but it was offside. And we all agree on that. The problem here is the replay also is looking at something else. And that is, does he have possession of the puck?
Control of the puck. Because control and possession in the NHL rulebook are two different things.
Okay, control. But my point being that that's a gray area when it comes to replay. And if you're going to have replay, you can't have gray areas to sit there and go back and forth. I think that's what took so long, was the fact that they're sitting there back in New York or Toronto or wherever it was going, does he have control of the puck on this play?
Well, I think you're right. An extension of that, Cassidy's so mad that, look, if it's that obvious, then it needs to be done before 3 minutes. Like, if it's so obvious, make the call earlier. If you got to go and keep it for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes to find the review, you're just looking for something, looking for a reason to take it the other way. And he goes, that's not what the rule is intended for. The rule is intended to fix something that was easily missed. And he goes, if this one took 3 minutes, it shouldn't have been overturned because it wasn't that obvious.
3 minutes doesn't seem all that long to me, to be honest with you.
Well, they're all talking about 60 seconds or less.
Okay, 60 seconds or less. We're going to cry about 120 seconds here. Well, all of a sudden, an extra 2 minutes to get the call right.
And the other thing was, I'm a Bruins fan here in the room, and I believe that the call was right. I have no problem with it. They would have taken the lead, but everybody's howling, oh, it cost the Bruins the game. Right. Not really. Tuca couldn't stop anything last night.
Let me ask you this. If this was the Stanley Cup Game 7, you'd be happy about this. Not that it went against the Bruins.
I wouldn't.
No. You'd be happy if it was just pick two teams, because then you'd say, at least they got the call right. So I'm sorry you went against Team A or Team B,
right. But
it's the Stanley Cup and we have to get it right. So that's why we have the replay to get this exact call for the Stanley Cup.
I mean, the Bruins are 11-2-2. They're in first place by 4 points in a very competitive division. I have no problem with this. They're not going to win every single game. It was nice to see some guys like Bjork and Connor Corrali and Connor Clifton. Yeah. It was just nice to see somebody other than Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand score some goals last night.
I knew this one was going to be a problem anyway. So,
I did too. Yeah. This was a game.
It was
a
back-to-back night, wasn't it?
It's a second day of a back-to-back, and it's on the road. That's a bad combo, especially against a decent team like Montreal. Mm-hmm. But plus, Tuca, at some point, has to have an off game. He's been out of his mind this year. He was due.
802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Fans are hypocrites when it comes to replay, and I'll tell you why.
All right, that's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3.
The young guy thinks he has all the answers.
The idea of a bacon cheeseburger, I don't need any part of.
But we're not so sure.
How is that possible?
Ugh. It's Brady Farkas.
If it has bacon on it, I'm not getting it.
On The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Everybody, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. By the way, I put on the women's basketball game last night when they were playing Dartmouth, just so my brother can hear a little bit
to
about
hear my pregame show.
Right, to hear your pregame show. My brother turns to me and goes, "Who's Vermont playing?" I said, "They're playing Dartmouth." He goes, "How far is that?" I go, "Hour and a half, 2 hours, right?"
No, it's closer than that.
What to where I wasn't
listening. To Dartmouth.
Dartmouth is about 90 minutes.
He looks at me and goes, "Let's go." And I remember I told you, I go, "I bet you he would go to the game." And you guys like, "He's not going to drive to Dartmouth for the women's basketball
game." No, I told you that he would. Yeah, I told you we'd let you out yesterday at 5:30 to do it.
Totally would have done that, he said. But, you know, we're all talk here. We all
By
talk.
By the way,
we never go.
I know we want to get to your thing here.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
We both left the studio for the commercial break for the same reason, to get water.
Yeah.
We're halfway there. You have a 32-ounce Gatorade bottle that you use.
Yes.
Which had about 18 of the ounces still in it. Yes. Cold, delicious, yummy water.
Yes, yes.
And he looks at me and he says, "Could you fill this up for me?"
Yes.
You've got enough water there for five people to last you the rest of the show.
I talk a lot.
Incapable of
I was going to the bathroom. I wouldn't have made it to the bathroom and gotten water. There are three separate floors. I had to go upstairs, then the level, and then the downstairs.
Okay, I just thought
I had to go up one floor to go to the bathroom, and then I'd have to go down two floors to go get the water.
So you couldn't have survived glass.
You have to go up the stairs to go to the bathroom.
No, you don't.
No, you don't?
You
no.
absolutely have to go
of course
up,
you do.
Up some stairs.
Yes.
To go to the bathroom. You have to go up five stairs.
Yeah, and then
which is hard for
Ernie.
Then
I got to go to that level, and then I got to come back down to our level. And then I got to go downstairs to where your office is to get the water, and then come back up here. I wasn't going to make it.
This is 2 minutes of radio our listeners can't have back.
I wasn't going to make it.
My point wasn't that. My point was that why do you need another 12 ounces to go with the 18 ounces you already had, which would have lasted you until the next break?
You prefer I bring in two buck chuck?
I don't even know what that means.
That's a wine, you knucklehead.
I know that? I've never had a glass of wine in my life.
Have you ever lived life? Have you ever?
Oh, no. No, I've had a really boring life.
I can't believe you don't even know what two buck chuck is.
I've never heard of that.
Sounds like a movie.
I don't drink wine either.
Really?
The only wine I've ever had is
what kind of
maybe
people
once at a wedding and dip my bread at church.
You know what
That's about it.
Do you know what Mad Dog 2020 is?
Never
That's
heard of it.
Cheap beer.
Okay. Isn't he a talk show host in New York?
You know what? I don't know who I'm doing the show with. I'm just drive around in your fancy suits and have a good time and enjoy life. That's all I
wear fancy suits.
Two buck chuck. You don't even know what it is. Brady, get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day. 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester, now carrying a full line of tactical apparel and gear for EMS workers, first responders, law enforcement, and fire and rescue from high-quality lines like TruSpec and Cougar Tactical. Great quality and selection at 20% off every day. On this Bruins thing, this offsides call yesterday, this overturn.
It's bugging you.
No, it bothers me that sports fans are so hypocritical about replay. They're so hypocritical, and what I mean is this. I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter today, people telling me left and right, "Oh, come on, it was offsides by a half centimeter. That's not what the rule's for. If it wasn't easy, if it wasn't so obvious, they shouldn't have overturned it. Not enough there to overturn." Number one, I see clear and irrefutable evidence that Charlie Coyle is offsides.
Yes.
But number two, the idea that you want to let something slide because, quote, "that's not what the replay was intended for," or, quote, "it wasn't that big a deal," or, quote, "it didn't have an outcome on the end of the play," or, quote, "it was a half millimeter over the blue line and that's not what this is about."
Well, wait a minute. I'll stop you right there. You're saying that's what replay is not about, but is officiating like that supposed to be like that? No. If you see a foul, you're supposed to call the foul. But some people go, "I'm going to let that slide." Or the score's 42-0. I'm going to let that one slide. Or that one had nothing to do with the play. That's how they officiate games. Why shouldn't we use replay in the same way, right? Why are we changing the way we officiate games? Officials do that same thing, don't they, Brady?
But a lot of these are rule-based things, okay?
Right?
And fans, I saw five people on Twitter today tell me, not a big deal, barely over the line, who cares? Well, you know what? When your NFL team loses a game because an interception was returned for a touchdown, but the guy stepped out by one blade of grass, but we let it slide because it wasn't that big a deal, you're going to be upset. When the ball is called foul, despite landing on one speck of white grass that is the foul line, you're going to be upset when the ball is called foul when it should have been called fair. That was offsides yesterday. Fans need to not be hypocrites. Look, maybe it was one blade of grass or 1 millimeter. I'm sorry that it didn't go your way, but the call was correct.
Are you hearing from Bruins fans that are angry about that call? Because I don't know how you could be angry. Are they angry about the puck being over before the skate?
No, I think they're mad because of the...
No, they're upset because of the offsides
call. Because they think call.
Well, right,
yeah,
but I mean, the traditional offsides are because of the fact that their question is the gray area.
Yes, the gray, yes, that's what they're questioning, the gray area.
That they he had control of the puck.
Control, possession, whatever you
well,
want
Well, that was the 50-50 part. Right. So you can't possibly argue that the puck went over before the skate, because that's just not true. Right. He was offside in the traditional sense of the rule.
Our buddy Matt says this to me on Twitter. If we have to zoom into a blurry shot and go frame by frame to determine if, quote, maybe he was half an inch offsides, we should probably be giving benefit of the doubt on possession calls.
Well, no, it's black and white. He was offside.
But he's saying you've got to blow the thing up six times to get it to a distorted, grainy image to be able to see that it was offsides. I contest that it was pretty clear it was offsides. In that video that we have online at 1013thegame.com, it looked pretty obvious and irrefutable to me.
I think that did exactly what it was supposed to do, that replay. It showed he was offsides, and they took back the goal, as much as I don't like it.
If there's one thing that bothers me more than anything with officiating, is when the wide receiver will ask the official, am I offsides? And the official said, yeah, just back it up a little bit. I'd say, figure it out yourself, buddy.
Right.
You know where the line of scrimmage is?
Does that happen?
Yeah, every play.
Wow.
Every play by
that
just about.
That would infuriate
Brady,
me.
You know what I'm talking about?
Say that again.
Where the receiver, he's lined up and he looks over to the ref to make sure that he's onside. The ref will say, back up a little bit or come a little closer to be on the line.
That's downright cheating.
I would just say, yeah, figure out where the line of scrimmage
the
is.
The guy buddy. Always points.
Yes, exactly. And it's every pass play, too.
Every wide receiver does.
Yeah,
I do see them pointing at a sideline, but I didn't know it was to the ref.
And the ref will tell him, yeah, you better go and back up because I'm about to call offsides on you and throw the flag. It's ridiculous.
And the only time that I don't like, and this is me, I guess, being sports hypocrite. I said fans shouldn't be hypocritical, but here I am being hypocritical. The only time that I don't like necessarily legislating it to the exact letter of the law is in baseball when the guy slides into the bag and his momentum pops him off the bag ever so slightly. So now you see what happens is this. Guy slides into second base and the infielder will hold the glove on the guy's leg through the entirety of the slide. And if he popped off for 0.5 millisecond, for 0.5 inch off the ground, they will challenge that and say he came off the bag. I agree. The guy's off the bag in that case. So, however, in a situation like that where he slides into second and his physical momentum takes him off the bag or lifts his leg up for 0.5 second, I do feel guilty calling the guy out for that point. But then again, I don't know. You talk about gray area. I don't know at what point then you would penalize him for it. Okay, one half inch. Well, that's okay. We'll let him be safe. But 1 full inch, now he's out. I don't know.
How about when a guy comes into the shortstop and they're trying to go for the double play and he slides in? And he's going to be out, but he'll still pop up. You know what I mean? He'll slide down. He'll still pop up to make the throw a little bit harder for that shortstop. You know, that's kind of an interference. Why do you got to pop back up? You're just sliding.
That's more gray area than what Brady's talking about. Look, if the guy's foot is an inch off the bag and the guy's glove is on the slider, he's out. I mean, isn't that very black and white?
Yes, but yes. And I'm saying that. Yes, I understand he's off the bag, but look, you had no control over that as the runner. Sometimes you slide, you run real fast, you slide in a second, impact causes you to lift your foot off the bag ever so briefly, not intentionally. I feel guilty using replay to penalize that runner for something he had no control over. But then again, I understand that, okay, 0.5 inch off the bag.
Right.
Well, okay. We'll let that slide.
Right.
But what about 1 inch? Okay, not 1 inch, but what about 2 inches? Well, now what if it's 3 feet off the bag?
Slide earlier.
I mean, so it's just, it's very, very difficult that when you start trying to say, okay, well, it was over, but not by that much. Well, then when does the line become where it's okay to actually make that call?
Steve says if they were able to reverse the call, they should have been able to review the blatant trip in front of Price goal right before the Montreal goal. They may have gotten both calls right.
There was goalie interference yesterday, and the Bruins have had some goalie interference calls go their way. They've had multiple, and Bruce Cassidy said, too, after the game, he's like, some of these things haven't been going our way lately. And I started thinking to myself, well, the Bruins have had a lot of success this season. What's not going their way? Two goals in Colorado were taken off the board and impacted based on goalie interference and offsides, et cetera. The offsides goal yesterday, goalie interference. So there are some things going against them.
Don't ever say we don't talk hockey. And listen, all of a sudden they get too much hockey. Rams fan, Ralph, can we talk about Brady selling his house again?
And
Jim in Colchester said, can we go back talking about cheap booze?
Priorities.
Yes. Joe said, one thing you're not talking about are the millions and millions of dollars that are being gambled on each game nowadays. They need to take as much time as they can to get it right for those poor degenerates. Believe me, there was not millions bet on the Bruins-Canadians game. There was probably, maybe at best, at most, 500 bets on that game. Believe it or not.
In Vegas.
In Vegas. Or legalized betting. I'm going to say legalized betting no matter where you are.
Hey, speaking of legalized betting, I got to ask, did Colin talk at all today about his new hamburger restaurant that he just opened up?
No, I didn't hear.
He opened up the first installment ever, the Herd Burger Joint.
Get out of here.
Which is Burgers, Bets, and Brews. So he's got a live
Burgers, sports. Burgers, what? Oh, Bets, and Brews.
So he's got a burger joint that serves beer that has a live betting screen up there. I got to imagine it's got to be Vegas.
I was going to say this is in Los Angeles. Or?
I mean, is gambling's not legalized yet in California? Is it?
Well, yeah. There's legalized. Well,
is there a legalized sports book?
I think you could do it. In
look
Hollywood
at Colin's
Park.
Twitter feed right now. Well, go to @ColinCowherd and look, and you'll see it. And I mean, it's pretty fascinating. That looked pretty cool. I just assumed it was in Vegas, but.
Are restaurants still good to invest in? You know, I don't know. If you're Colin owns a liquor store, I know that.
Yes.
I don't know if you
Burgers, Bets, and Brews, getting started.
That is good. I mean, he's got a lot of dough. He's got to spend it on something, for crying out loud. Here it is. The first Herd Burger is officially open. Food is fantastic. The staff is great. Yeah, I don't know where that is. That certainly looks like a Vegas-style place, though, isn't it?
It looks pretty cool. Now I want to go to Vegas just to go to it. There, and when I was in Hollywood a couple years ago, I went to Fat Sal's Deli, which is Turtle from Entourage, Jerry Ferrara. So Fat Sal. Oh my God, that place was delicious.
Really?
You talk about the best place not in Chittenden County or in Vermont that advertises with us to get a burger. Fat Sal's Diner, Deli, whatever it was called.
We need one of those here.
Phenomenal.
We need a Fat Sal's here.
Meanwhile, they're killing him on Twitter. Where Colin was wrong, burger looks good though. And one says terrible meat to vegetable ratio. It's like people are just sitting out there at home with nothing to do but wait for people to complain to.
But at least you can gamble too. That's the cool part. You do a little. Well, but you know what? You can gamble anyway before you walk into any place. It's so easy, Brady. You can go online. There's legalized gambling in a lot of states. You know, there's plenty of ways to get your bets down without having to, you know, use one of those machines. All right, 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Do we need to recalibrate our expectations of the red-hot Celtics all of a sudden?
All right, we'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Arnie.
That's why I'm like Einstein.
Rich.
Any movies worth seeing, by the way? I haven't been to a movie in years.
Brady.
A lot of people don't like Friends. I don't know who these people are.
It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy Wednesday. Tomorrow, I think it's 2 to 4 inches of snow. Our first pretty much snowfall.
Fun.
Nice.
Let's go skiing, baby.
My brother's pumped for it. I will tell you that.
He's the LA guy?
Yeah, he is. He thinks it's funny.
Well, he's because in for a surprise.
Because he just wanted to see it?
Yeah, because he doesn't get to see a lot of snow. It's Los Angeles. All he gets to see is traffic. That's all he gets to see out there. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get the little Celtics here.
Celtics, they're red hot. I mean, they have played really, really well. They won again last night. And all of a sudden here, what, five straight wins, Rich, right now? Five straight wins?
So it's five. They're 5-1.
5-1 overall. Yep. So with a 5-1 record, do we need to recalibrate our expectations for this team? Because, look, I had him pegged for third or fourth place in the Eastern Conference. I had him anywhere between third and fifth. I tended to pick them trending towards third. But I had them anywhere between third and fifth, and here they are right now looking like they can beat anybody on any given day.
I don't know if I'm going to recalibrate it because, I mean, there are some good teams. I think the Eastern Conference, maybe I said I'd have to recalibrate. They're a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. They're still not as good as the West. And we still have the Bucks there, even though they beat Milwaukee. Miami's a little bit better than I thought. I thought Toronto would completely collapse. They haven't. They only have two losses. The Celtics have played well. Philadelphia's played well.
Miami,
You know, they should be no worse than fourth. I thought maybe they could be fourth or fifth in the conference. They should be no worse than fourth. when it finishes out.
Well, I said preseason. Watch out for this team. I said 50 wins, and everybody thought I was crazy. I just think, and I mean, really, remember the other day I said if they can get by the Bucks, then they're going to they conceivably could break out at 6-1.
My buddy,
and that's
Big
exactly
Mouth,
what's going to happen.
My buddy Big Mouth Burns wanted to bet me $100 that the Celtics were going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, they're putting up big numbers offensively. I mean, they've scored, other than that loss, in all their wins, they've scored at least 104 points. They had 119 last night.
I'm happy with how they're playing overall, obviously. The fact that they're 5-1, the fact they've won five straight. Gordon Hayward's playing really well. Kemba Walker's playing really, really well. Ultimately, though, I'm not ready yet to recalibrate my expectations. I still think that they're worse than Philadelphia. I still think that they are worse than Milwaukee overall in the long run. I think what they have impressed me with and what they have shown me is that they can beat any team on any given day. I won't go into any game this year just assuming they're going to lose, which is different than what I would have thought a month ago. I would have said, okay, if they play Milwaukee, that's a 15-point loss. If they play Philly, that's a 9-point loss. I won't go into any games thinking that. But I don't believe that they could all of a sudden just go out here and win four games against Milwaukee in a seven-game series. I don't think they're at that point.
Well, wait a minute. You know, first of all, you thought there was only, two teams better anyway than them. So you weren't really thinking they were going to get clobbered.
But I go into a lot of the Western Conference games.
Well, yeah, the Western Conference games, I still think there's going to be some problems. I still think they're going to have some major problems. I mean, the Lakers are playing good. Denver, Phoenix. Even Phoenix are playing good.
You know,
Clippers.
Go figure.
The Suns are not bad. But there's some really good teams. They'll have a tough time going through the West, but obviously that's not their conference, so they're very lucky about that.
Well, they get San Antonio in this road trip. I mean, they got Charlotte, a game they should probably win, although the Hornets, surprise, everyone had them as dead last right from the start. I think they're 3-2 right now, so that could be a tough game. But that'll be a good test against, against San Antonio. But I just think they've got depth, and I mean, you're seeing it right now. Like Daniel Tice comes out, Grant. No, he's not scoring. He scores 5 or 6 points again, but he had 5 blocks last night, as you mentioned earlier. You haven't had Cantor. Cantor's played, one game? And
and
Jaylen Brown, with his, quote, illness, has missed half the games this season.
Would the Celtics be 5-1 if Kyrie was still on this team and no Kemba Walker?
Well,
the answer is going to be no.
Yeah, I would say no.
No,
yeah.
they seem
no,
like
that. Maybe 4-2, but it's still too early sampling size. But they're a better team without Kyrie. Remember, we were getting left. We laughed at each other for saying stuff like that last year.
Yeah, and they've got a younger team too. You're starting to see Robert Williams playing a lot. Carson Edwards was 5-for-6 with 13 points in just 15 minutes last night. And I think a guy like Cantor can't help but help the chemistry. He's such a fun guy, whether he's playing or not. He's out there at least.
Yeah, I think the Celtics. See, you love their depth. I don't think their depth is as good as you think that it is, because I just don't think that. I don't think that Tice isn't ultimately a guy that's going to help the team get to the NBA Finals or something. I think he can come in, play some defense, all that. Right. What I love is Smart. Smart's playing phenomenal defense. I love the way that he plays. He's really, look, you can't shut down Giannis. You can't shut down some of these players, but he's guarding the best players. He guarded Kevin Love yesterday, and Kevin Love was all praise for him after the game about how hard that Marcus Smart played. So I think I look at this team as Kemba. I look at this team as Hayward, and I look at this team is Brown and Tatum. I look at the big four and everything else is there's some ancillary pieces. I don't believe, though, that they're going to get a ton out of, you know, Carson Edwards consistently like they got out of Rozier last year at times.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to win the championship or even get close in the East. I'm not sure that's possible. But we talked preseason about what do you need? You need Jaylen Brown to step it up. That's to be announced. We'll see, because he can't stay healthy. We needed Hayward to take a big step. He's absolutely done that so far, averaging 20 points a game. Jason Tatum, we said, was the number one person, at least in my book, I said, preseason. He was the guy that had to step it up. He's getting 21-7 right now. And Kemba Walker's been exactly what we thought he'd be, scoring 26 points a night.
Rich is right. Won't hear that much. Celtics got their mojo back, Brandon, in Richmond. So
I don't even know. Won't hear that much of what?
And I think he's
that
saying
Rich is right. That
Rich is right. You won't hear that much.
Yeah. Which is true. You won't hear that a lot at all.
Thanks.
Before we get to Buster Olney, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Yeah. There was one thing I wanted to get to on baseball real quick. This is something that has gone underreported and underthought about. So we've all been talking about J.D. Martinez now that he's opted in. Could the Red Sox go and try to trade him, right? Try to save that $23 million. Could they try to trade him? Martinez has a very, very, very limited no-trade clause. It's only 3 teams. He can put on every year. He could put on 3 teams that he doesn't want to get traded to. That could actually really impact if the Red Sox try to trade him. Because think about this. Martinez is only really a fit in the American League. So he doesn't have to put any of the National League teams on it.
Right.
The Red Sox probably aren't going to deal him within the division. So he doesn't need to put the Yankees on it because they're not going to trade him anyways there. They're not. He doesn't need to put Toronto on it. He doesn't need to put Baltimore on it. He doesn't need to put Tampa on it. So now you're looking at three teams he can put on, and he's only got to deal with probably the AL West and the AL Central.
Yep.
Well, Detroit's bad. They're not going for him. Kansas City's bad. They're not going for him. Cleveland probably doesn't want to pay him. And Minnesota already has a DH. So that leaves the White Sox, who we talked about.
Yep.
And then
Houston.
The Angels don't need him. Houston doesn't need him because they got Alvarez.
That's true.
And then that leaves Texas and Oakland.
Yep.
I mean, he could conceivably put... Seattle. He could
eliminate all the teams.
He could eliminate all the teams, Brad. Yeah. The teams
his list already out though?
No, he has not.
I thought it was in the beginning of not this contract, but the original one. Whether you're opt in or out, the team should already be in that.
Well,
contract.
No, he gets a new one every year. I think
he's got a whole new contract.
No, but that's no, he gets a new list of teams every year.
Get out of here.
He gets a new list of teams every year.
I thought at the beginning of his first contract, he gives you the list of teams, and that's it. You don't get to keep changing the teams every year. I'd never heard of that.
I think he gets to keep changing the teams.
Never heard of that.
Normally, that wouldn't mean much, but that laundry list you just went down is fascinating because it basically forces Boston to keep him.
Because if he says, look, you're not going to trade me to the White Sox, you're not going to trade me to Texas, which are two real suitors,
right?
And then I think Seattle or Cleveland maybe is the other potential one, even though I don't think either one of them are real players for him. Wait, he could pretty much block the teams.
Don't we knock people that are, and I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to be a bad team, but suppose the Red Sox were in last place and they say, we want to trade you to a first place team, and he says, no, I don't want to go there. You know, don't we rip people for saying that? Don't we say that, you know, you just in it for the money or you don't want to win? I mean, we want to trade you to Toronto because you're in first place.
Yeah, but
and he goes, no, I don't want to do that.
This gives him power in that he now can have leverage. It's not necessarily that he doesn't want to go to these places.
Right.
He can say, look, if I'm going to waive my no trade clause, what else am I going to get? Are you going to give me a bump up in pay? Are you going to guarantee you're going to sign me long term and give me a raise? So it just gives him some leverage. Or, you know, hey, give me a car when I come to you, whatever. But it gives him some leverage.
It knocks a lot of teams off. I mean, it knocks it down to pretty much Cleveland and maybe Seattle, as you said. I mean, but the thing is he has no control. If Seattle isn't on that no trade list, and Seattle offers two great young pitchers, then the Red Sox would be crazy not to take it.
He can designate three teams at the start of each offseason, and those teams can change from year to year.
That's crazy.
He must inform the Red Sox by the end of this month.
Wow. That's insane.
What happens if they want to trade him now? If he doesn't have to decide by the end of the month, what
ship
happens
him out.
Rich, tell everybody what's going on Thursday at RJ's.
Well, Chargers Raiders is going on for one thing, and so that's going to bring out all the crazy Raider Nation. That's always an interesting
NBA,
group.
NHL,
all the people with their spiked helmets and their spiked shoulder pads and all their crazy war paint that they're going to have on out there. So that'll be fun because the Raiders draw that crowd. So it'll be fun tomorrow. All the NBA, all the NHL action. The Celtics are going to be playing Charlotte. We'll have that game on at least one of Jay's TVs. While you're there tomorrow, besides all the crazy fun with a packed house, we're going to qualify you to win Patriots tickets for that game against the Bills, who are right on their butts.
All right.
And that should be a huge game. We got half-price burgers tomorrow. We got Shinerbach Lager on special for $3. Free wings from 10 till midnight. Craig Mitchell until the wee hours. That's tomorrow night at RJ's. We'll get there about 8. I'd say you should, too.
2 hours are in the books. Power Hour coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then Buster only starts off the Power Hour. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
From the batting cage to the clubhouse, he's got all the answers you need. It's time for our weekly talk with Randolph Center, Vermont native son, and ESPN baseball insider Buster Olney. 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the Power Hour of the show, mere moments away from Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. So Brady will get him on the line. Rich, you real quickly wanted to say something about yesterday.
Yeah, sad news coming out. Ed Markey, who means a lot to a lot of people that have been around the sports scene in the Burlington area for a very long time, died, I believe it was yesterday. It might have been sometime this week he died. At the age of 90, Ed Markey, for anybody who remembers St. Michael's Athletics, he is one of the single most significant sports figures in the Champlain Valley over the last 100 years. He was St. Michael's College Sports. Really? I had a chance to know him for years when I was the PA announcer for the basketball team. One of the most gracious guys you'll ever meet. And he was a star basketball and baseball player. He was a star coach. He was the assistant coach for many years under the Doc Jacobs, another classic name over for the Purple Knights at St. Mike's. Then he led them to one great year after another. They made it to the National Final Four,
wow.
Division II in basketball.
Wow.
I mean, they were really good. They'd win 20 games every single year. They had NCAA tournament appearances in 72, 73, 74. He had two NBA draft picks that he coached at St. Michael's, including Richie Tarrant. He coached baseball over there for 19 seasons, and everywhere he went at St. Mike's, the teams were always really good. And like I said, a great guy. So sorry to hear that news, the legendary Ed Markey dying this week at the age of 90.
Would love for St. Mike's to go ahead and be good again. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, bring it on.
At least competitive. Well, It'd be a lot of fun to have another college in this town and you know, bring teams up here.
I've said it so many times. When I was the PA announcer there, they packed that Ross Sports Center. It was so crazy. They had them parked at the Fannie Allen Hospital parking lot, and they'd shuttle them in.
I know the hockey team is doing good this year so far. I think they're like 3-0-1 or 2-0-1. They're off to a good start.
Well,
one of my billet kids is playing on that team. But yeah. No, but at least I'd love for them to be a little bit better. You know, yeah. Just be good.
Oh, well, I really would.
Yeah. New head coach Eric Eaton. He knows what he's doing, so he might be the guy to get it turned around.
People are saying he's creating a buzz over there, and it's going to take a little while before he can get before he can do his recruiting magic. But yeah, I think believe me, build it and they will come, because I've seen Ross Sports Center crazy years and years ago. It's been a little slim pickings lately because they haven't been winning much over the last decade.
They played Connecticut this year. I told you about that.
They opened their season with UConn and UVM.
That is great, though.
You talk about strength of schedule.
You know, people are like, well, why play Connecticut? You just lose by 40. So what?
Yeah, exactly.
So what?
And they get to play at the XL Center.
It's it's football where it's a lot more physical, knock wood, somebody can get hurt. You're playing basketball. Sure, you can get hurt playing basketball, but, I mean, just because you're losing by 30 or whatever, yeah. So what?
There was some game. Was it last night? It was UNH and Baylor in women's basketball. And the last time I checked, it was 59-5 in the third quarter. I thought, well, there's an interesting matchup. I don't know what the final was, but UNH couldn't have had much fun on their trip to Waco.
Now you're going to have to look that up for me. Now I have to find out what the final score of that was.
I will.
Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now are ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. It's Buster Olney. Buster, hey, by the way, how was the Titans-Panthers game you and your son went to? How did that go?
Well, I enjoyed it immensely. I can't say my son, the Titans fan, was excited about the fact that the Titans kind of got their butt whooped. In fact, he wasn't happy, had a sour look on his face, which, after making the flights down to Charlotte and then staying in a hotel down there and walking around, it was not what I wanted to see.
Buster, one of the things that appeals to me, besides the fact that it's 85 and perfect out in Arizona for spring training, is the fact that I go to a sporting event and I don't have to work. I can sit there and sit on the grass in the outfield with a beer in my hand and just not care. Do you feel that when you go to some of these sporting events?
Yes, but I will tell you that, unfortunately, I can't really relax and just watch the game with that relaxed eye. Yeah. Like, I'm always like, Jake, check that out. The punter. You see what the punter's doing right there? He's talking to the coach, and the coach is talking to him, and they're setting it up in case they get the first down here, or in case it goes fourth down, then they're going to figure out what they're going to do. So I kind of wish that I could back off on that, just sit back and enjoy the look around and check out the clouds and stuff like that.
Do you find yourself watching other sports thinking, what would they do in baseball? Oh, that's not how that manager would handle it.
Well, I'll confess that after watching, there was one player on the Titans sideline who I found to be a little unusual, and I wound up writing a long email to one of the writers who covers the team. That's how weird I am.
Wow.
Okay, because I was like, this is what I saw. I know you can't see it from the press box, but there are all these things happening, and I thought it was very unusual. I thought you'd want to know.
Hey, Buster, J.D. Martinez, let's move to baseball. J.D. Martinez opts in with the Red Sox. I was shocked. Were you surprised?
Not entirely, because the fact that, and I'd had this conversation with a lot of people that, you figure that I think during the year, generally, when he was going, at times when he was going well, people were like, well, J.D.'s going to opt out, and you know, he wasn't happy about the way that the last negotiation went down, where the Red Sox were really the only team that stepped up. And, you know, he's thinking that at that time that he could make more money. And, he's just being a client of Scott Boras, he's always, you know, grass is always greener on the other side of the fence in the contracts. But I give Scott credit because I think he recognized the reality that a lot of, you know, baseball executives and agents were talking about during the year, like, okay, if not the Red Sox, then who?
Yeah.
Because if you go team by team by team on all the divisions and you try to figure out, okay, which team is actually going to be willing to pay huge dollars for a designated hitter, I don't think any had any other options. And while, you know, Scott was sort of making, you know, representations is too strong of a word, but sort of indicating that he felt like he had other places to go, I think the reality was is that he really didn't. And, you know, I'm curious to see how J.D.'s going to feel about how this all played out, that despite the fact he'd been such a productive hitter the last 2 years, you know, the concern about him on defense was really overriding because the only teams that were seemingly in play with the American League teams.
You know, since you bring him up, I'm just kind of curious. You know, we called Scott Boras. I happen to have his private cell number from a long time ago, and he answered. He said he would love to come on. Do you think should we get him on? He's a tough guy to talk to. You know that, Buster.
Absolutely, you get him on. You know, I no question about it. I mean, shoot, if you guys can get him on, that would be a coup for you.
Really?
In part because this winter, let's face it, he's the center of the baseball universe because he happens to represent all of these guys. He's got Garrett Cole. He's got Anthony Rendon. He's got Steven Strasburg. He's got Dallas Keuchel. He's got Hyun-Jin Ryu. He's got Marcell Ozuna. Just about every guy at the top of the board for the best free agents he represents. So if you guys can pull that off, tip of the cap.
And it's funny because I only called him because I thought he was Mookie Betts' agent. I guess it's everybody but Mookie Betts.
Well, exactly. That's the only guy he doesn't represent.
I'm sure that would have gone over big when Arnie starts the conversation, says, so you represent Mookie Betts. How do you feel? I'm sure that it would have been a click beep at that point.
He probably thinks he does. He doesn't know.
Believe me, because the players, as you guys know, they change agents a lot more than people realize.
Yeah.
You know, the agent didn't get me the shoe deal. The agent didn't do this. The agent didn't pick up this. The agent cares more about that player than me. And so I've had a lot of conversations through the year that open with, do you still represent so-and-so? And the response being, no. We changed last week, or we changed a month ago, or we changed 6 months ago. So, and I bet you that Scott would have corrected you, but then rolled with it, because that just seems to be part of the business.
Buster, one of your colleagues at ESPN raised the idea of a massive salary dump for the Red Sox and threw in Xander Bogaerts in a trade. I mean, could that actually happen?
If we think about, you know, the biggest deal that the Red Sox made in the last decade, that massive salary dump that they had with Los Angeles Dodgers, Adrian Gonzalez, and you know, so many players involved in that deal. I guess theoretically it could, but on the other hand, I think Xander Bogaerts' contract is very team friendly. And while I think John Henry, you know, you gotta respect the fact that he is looking to be more fiscally responsible, and you understand that. They also, at some point, are going to have to try to win. And there's not a lot of places. I mean, the best part of that team right now is the left side of the infield. And it's hard to imagine long-term that that's the best part of the team. And it's hard to imagine them breaking that up after getting Xander on what is really, within the industry, considered to be a tremendous team-friendly contract with Xander.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, joins us every single Wednesday at this time, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, I'm going back to J.D. Martinez. He opts in. Were the Sox helped or hurt by this decision?
I think the best way to answer would be this way. If you gave truth serum to the people in the front office at the Red Sox and said, were you happy or not happy that J.D. stayed with his contract, I think absolutely the answer would be they would have preferred that he opt out. Now, do I think that, because I've seen so many people tie it to Mookie and say, well, because he opted in, that means they have to, you know, they have to make a decision on Mookie. They're going to have to make a decision on Mookie anyway. Because I think the general perception within the industry is that he's not going to sign with them before he becomes a free agent. I talked with an executive with another team today and asked him, do you think that Mookie's going to be traded? And the answer I got back was, in the end, no, this winter, because they feel like that we've seen the return on these guys who are a year or two from free agency, star players like Manny Machado. It's just not that great. And it might be the situation where you know, the Red Sox dangle Mookie in the market, and everyone knows how good he is, but the fact is that he's going to be making so much money next year, and the fact that he's only a year from free agency, who's going to step up and pay that? And I do think that sticker shock, the concern over the return in the end potentially could push them to keeping him. But, yeah, I think that J.D., the fact that he's staying with the team is going to make them make tougher decisions on, like, first base and other position, bullpen, as opposed to affecting Mookie Betts.
You know, Buster, also you mentioned trades. Well, one of my first ideas was, well, hey, now will the Red Sox try to trade J.D. Martinez? But we learned today that he has a three-team no-trade clause, which doesn't sound like a lot, but he can pretty much, we talk about limited suitors, he can pretty much say, okay, I'm not going to the White Sox, I'm not going to Texas and pick one other team and just kind of be stuck in Boston.
That's right. And then I think probably on his side, hey, if you want to trade me, you could always buy me out of that. And no one's going to do that. It would make no sense for them necessarily to do that. And I think if you're probably one of the, you know, you're, for example, the Rangers are seen as potentially one of the teams that might take him on. But remember, they got Shin-Soo Chu under contract for another year. In the end, I don't think that there are any other teams willing to spend that kind of money on a DH.
Well, Buster, I'm glad you said Shin-Soo Chu.
Oh,
because,
yes, he is.
Because Brady Farkas, new Red Sox general manager, has a trade idea. Brady Farkas is willing to trade Mookie Betts to Atlanta and get pitching prospects, and then I'm willing to trade David Price's contract and throw in some money to Texas to get Shin-Soo Chu and let him play the outfield for Mookie for the 1 year left. What do you think of my GM skills?
I think the Rangers would go, what are you, out of your mind?
What? Like, that's
we're
what I
take,
said.
We're going to take all that money and all the uncertainty with David Price, who's got a partially torn elbow ligament, and the physical issues, and we're going to take the back end of that contract for him to come down and join us? Mm. No way.
They got a brand new ballpark they got to put people in the seats for. They need starters.
Do you think that David Price is someone who's going to fill those seats?
I think if the Rangers were, they're trying to steal fans from the Astros, Buster.
Okay, what would David Price get if he were a free agent today?
I think he would get 3 years, $50 million, and that's why I'm saying I take the twenty million that Chu has. That makes Price's deal only $76 million. I'll pay the other 26 if I'm the Red Sox. They can have him for 3 for $50.
Don't you love this?
So where's the savings exactly? I mean, for 2020, which is the goal.
Yeah. Damn, I hate when he's right.
Buster, let's get to the Yankees, because the Yankees have decided not to extend D.D. Gregorius. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's not going to get the $17.8 million qualifying offer. What's going to happen to him? Because, man, this guy a couple of years ago was really, really good. Now what?
And they like D.D. And I think that, you know, the door is open if D.D.'s willing to, give them a team-friendly rate. And it would make sense in some regard because, you know, after what was a down year coming off of Tommy John surgery, not only offensively but defensively, it would make sense for them, for him, to set himself up to try to go back out on the market next fall. And maybe the best way to do that would be to go to Yankee Stadium, where his obviously his swing is perfect because he tends to, you know, all the home runs he hit are pulled to right field, and Yankee Stadium is the best place for a left-handed hitter. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I think it absolutely has to be on their terms. I'm just pulling numbers out of the air. I haven't vetted these numbers, but for example, I would imagine that like a one-year deal for like $12 million mm-hmm. might be something the Yankees would be interested in. Mm. But they do have the flexibility potentially to, make other places with it.
Mm. Wow. Buster, do you get the feeling the Yanks are players on Steven Strasburg?
No, not yet. I mean, here's the thing about Steven, and I think it's more likely that they're players on Gerrit Cole, that they put out some incredible number. I actually had one executive in the last week tell me that he thinks that Boris's initial asking price will be north of $300 million and that it's going to take at least 8 years to try to get something done. And we saw the Yankees shock everybody with that CC Sabathia contract. I think that's more likely. Here's the thing about Strasburg, and I love Steven. I mean, I think he's a great person. He's a really private guy. Like, he, and you guys saw the thing that, you know, that they love to do with him in their dugout with the whole hug thing, and that's because they know that he's, uncomfortable with the physical interaction sometimes. Hmm. And I think that that's the way he is generally when it comes to conversation. He doesn't like to necessarily be on every billboard and the big guy. And he knows Washington. And he's comfortable with Washington, which is why in May of 2016, I think the year was, he basically told Boris, look, I want to stay in Washington, make the deal. And so he got 7 years for $175 million. Mm. Makes sense, I think, for Scott to opt out of this particular deal because it's clear Stephen has more value coming off a really good year. But I tend to doubt that he would be open to, you know, doing New York. I think it's more likely, unless San Diego, where he's from, comes up with a huge contract, and we could have a separate argument about whether or not it makes sense for the Padres, but unless the Padres step up and make a huge offer, I still think in the end the best contract, the best place for him to be is back in Washington on a renegotiated deal.
Buster, one of the things I'm most interested in for the Yankees is how they view Miguel Andujar this offseason. He looked rookie of the year, runner-up last year, didn't miss really the whole season this year. Urshela really good this year? Are they going to move Andujar? Does he just slot back in as the everyday third baseman? How do they view him?
I think they view him potentially as a guy who can play. They still felt like last spring that he put in a lot of work last winter and that he was going to be better defensively. But let's face it, after how well Urshela showed at third base, not only defensively, but offensively, I think they'll go into this spring open to the idea that Andujar is going to get some of his at-bats at first base. It may affect some of the value that he has, but they believe in him offensively. And so I think as they run through potential options, one of the choices that they'll set up is that he could get a lot of at-bats at first base.
He's Buster on the ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy your week, and we'll speak to you next week.
That sounds good. I will, Brady, I'll do some work. I'll try to vet your idea, because I've seen that in a couple places, like a price thing. But as I say, I think a lot of concern about what price could be, and I just, in the end, you wonder how much of a market there would be for J.D. Martinez.
Well, if Heim Bloom calls me, I'll give my idea.
Okay, that sounds good.
Right, thanks, Buster.
Thanks, Buster.
See you guys.
Yep. Buster Aldi, everybody. Well, some good stuff. Evan Grant was the one who wrote that. I can't believe that they would do that. So
I need some kind of thing where the Red Sox are saving the money this year and they'll pay it in future years. Like I need some deferred payments or something off of this year.
Now, also, Buster's got me thinking maybe we should call Scott Boras. Did you get the...
Yes, I have the number.
I'm a little worried about it, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be fun.
I'm going to step out of the room for that interview.
I'm not kidding around.
You really wouldn't talk to him?
I would... Brady, he would hang up the minute I said the first thing.
You're the really only one that's going to have a blast with this.
Yeah, I would.
Because he's very, when I had him on in the studio, very condescending, very interrupt me.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, and he straight out said that. Excuse me, I'm not done with that question.
Yeah. I'd last 30 seconds with him before I told him to go to hell.
But you know what? He is an important, he's an important person, though.
That's all the more reason to tell him to go to hell. By the way, remember I was telling you the women's basketball game, UNH, at Baylor last night?
Yes, what was the final?
Final was 97-29.
Wow.
UNH made a serious run. It was 23-0 at the end of one.
Wow.
And 51-3 at halftime.
I walk away for 6 seconds to hang up the phone, and we're going to UNH women's basketball.
51-3 at the half.
Baylor's a national championship program.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about Didi, though. Did that catch you off surprise? Not really. We kind of knew that was coming or not.
It wouldn't shock me if Didi was back with the Yankees for a lesser deal, like he said, year, $12 million.
However, I thought somebody would want him. He had 2 good years before this last year, right?
I think somebody would want him. The question is, does he want to play in New York? Does he want to play for a winner? Does he want to play for a team that's a true contender? Because, look, I could see a team that isn't as good that it wants a stopgap player until a prospect comes up, giving him more year, 2 years, $20 million.
I consider him like somebody from a team would say, hey, he's going to be a cornerstone of our team.
Not at 30.
And what they want to do is move LeMahieu to second base, and then
Torres to shortstop. Well, that would certainly fit in line with their positions, yes.
So that's the thinking what the Yankees are going through right now. So.
Look at you giving the baseball.
Wow, look at me.
You act like you know what you're talking about.
I know.
About.
I could fake it with the best of them for crying out loud.
I don't know what's more impressive, when Arnie talks baseball or I talk hockey. Exactly. I don't know which one's more impressive.
Or I talk any sports.
See, you just you get mad when the text line rips you, but here you are just ripping yourself.
It's fun. It's a lot more. I'm so thin-skinned that the only person that it's okay to criticize is myself. I don't want to hear from anybody else about my problems.
And you won't even be here if we do Scott Boras. You'll be here.
I'll be here. I just can't stand him. I've made that pretty clear.
But he's not the hated guy like he once was, like 10, 15 years ago or anything like that. No, I don't know if he...
So he still hasn't ruined baseball yet, despite his greatest efforts?
You know, he's a former player. I don't know. A former minor league guy, I think.
Great.
That really never made
Maybe
it
he's
to the
played
majors.
In Burlington, Vermont before.
Maybe I introduced him. Scott Boras! Yeah,
wow. 802
You would never say that to
you
him.
You would never say that to
him. Of course I
face.
Wouldn't. I wouldn't speak to him.
Do you know how much money he must have?
I don't know.
What's his net worth? It's got to be... Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Because he gets, what, 10, 15, 20% of all those deals?
No, slow down.
10?
I was going to say like 5%.
He has a net worth of $400 million. Which doesn't seem as high as I would have thought, actually.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You know, Lee Steinberg just put out something that said he was looking for interns for the summer. Wow. I'm telling my kid, next summer, there, go out to L.A., go out to Lee Steinberg.
Well, with some goaltending.
Fun. Yeah, exactly. Have some fun out there. $400 million?
Scott Boras played with the... Florida Gulf Coast League Cardinals back in 1974.
So did I.
I thought he was better than that. I think Fidel Castro was better than that. No, I'm serious.
Oh, I know. I've seen
Fidel Castro was in the Dodge organization or the Pirates organization. I don't remember.
He made the All-Star team in the Florida State League back in 1975 and was beat out for a starting spot in the All-Star game by Lou Whitaker.
Good. Sweet
the
Lou.
The old Tiger.
Good. I like him already.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's not bad. So he had game, right?
Yeah, he had some game.
He had some game. I like that. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we have coming up next?
Patriots. Do they need the number one seed come playoff time? Is it a must for them?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
He's sometimes really wrong.
Good. I was talking to my new buddy at Orange Theory today. What's his name again? I wrote it down.
But he's always entertaining.
I was talking to him. He's very excited about UVM hoops this year. I said, I think they're going to beat Virginia.
It's Arnie Spanier on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
UVM St. Bonaventure on Friday, though, Brady.
Yeah.
And St. Bonaventure lost
to
yesterday.
Ohio University.
Ohio University.
That's very bad for UVM.
Why is that?
Because UVM's strength of schedule just went down, and given the fact that St. Bonaventure lost to Ohio.
Yeah. No, I thought you meant that's bad because, you know, they're going to be a good team or something. Like, oh, they just lost. But I don't worry about strength of schedule. But, yeah, you're right.
You're the one who wants them to get a 10 seed or the tournament.
I do.
So, yes.
You'll get the 10 seed if you beat Virginia. Maybe you'll get a higher seed than that.
Them to get a 10 seed or a 12. You know, I think a 12 is what's realistic at the most. So they need to go, you know, in my opinion, 28-4, 29-3, and they need to have some signature wins. And if St. Bonaventure's bringing down their strength of schedule, that is a bad thing.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
We will have on Coach Becker.
Yes.
And would it be inappropriate for me to say I expect you not to lose any games?
Yes, it would be inappropriate.
And yet I can see him doing it anyway.
What would be wrong with that? I'm going to say I think you could win every game this year.
Just go out and clobber Virginia. No problem.
So you're going to suck
up to him? And then win every game in the NCAA tournament, too.
So you're just going to suck up to him and then tell him you expect him to?
No, I like this team. I really like that. By the way, on my national show, I bring it up to our gamblers. When we have I have a gambling segment. And they also do a show after us called Straight Out of Vegas.
Yeah.
And I bring it up to RJ Bell, and I go, watch out for Vermont. You want to bet on them a little bit, get a little action. And they're like, seriously? I go, they're good. Because you know what's so funny is they don't know. They're like, who? And they'll do their homework. They'll look up Vermont. They'll look at the team. They'll do their homework and see the lines and stuff like that. But otherwise, these gamblers, you know, want information like that. They can't look up all 100 or 200 teams out there. They just can't do it.
It's nice you talk about UVM on your national show, but never... Rich and Brady.
Wow. No, I bring you guys up.
That's fine with me.
But you say my two co-hosts.
I say the country bumpkin is what I call
Is that
Rich.
Me?
That's you.
The country bumpkin. You call me that to a quarter billion people?
Yes, I do.
And what am I?
I just say the punky kid. No, yeah, I do not. I just say my co-host is what I say.
The country bumpkin. Yeah. Jim Crow. Should I call into the show?
That's kind of what you like to be known as. Like, you like to be called the
country. I don't like condos. Put the field back out there. Huh?
Play some Skinnerd.
Ready to get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms at Colchester, now carrying a full line of tactical apparel for EMS workers, first responders, law enforcement, and fire and rescue from high-quality lines like TruSpec and Cougar Tactical. Great quality and selection at 20% off every single day. Interesting question. They were going out on WEEI today, and I wanted to bring it to our airwaves. 802-655-6672. We all agree the Patriots are good. Rank them however you want to in terms of your power rankings. But when it comes to playoff time, do you believe that the Patriots need the number one seed in order to get to the Super Bowl? This is good bye week fodder
right.
for us.
Right.
Do they need the number one seed?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they are a team that almost never loses at home. And I think with that in mind, a number one seed is probably most important to them. Because
could they go on the road? If they were the two seed, could they go on the road in the AFC title game and beat Baltimore, beat Kansas City, whoever would theoretically be ahead of them?
See, this is a tough question. The timing on this isn't good because they just got their butts handed to them on the road in Baltimore. So, you know, naturally, the what have you done for me lately thinks, no, you can't win in Baltimore.
Yeah, they need the number one seed.
Last year they didn't need it.
Well, this year they do, though. We're talking that shows today, and this year they do need it.
What's the difference between last year and this year?
This year their offense is in the
having no rushing game of any sort.
The offensive line's got problems. They're not rushing the ball well. Yeah. Tom Brady doesn't look crisp. And now we're starting to think, is the defense really as elite as everybody made them out to be when they got chewed up by the Ravens? No, they need home field advantage this year more than ever.
No, I would, believe me, as a Pats guy, I would rather not go to Baltimore again after what I saw. And they say it's tougher to beat a team twice in a row, but I don't want to play Baltimore in Baltimore after what I saw. It's for Kansas City, hard to say. They're so banged up, but I assume they'll be healthy by the time the Patriots would come around to Arrowhead in a month and a half.
Gwen said they did it to Kansas City last year because Kansas City always loses at home every year. So ask Matt Verderam. Get him on the line. He'll tell you that.
Look, I think the Patriots do need the number one seed. Yeah. As good as I think they are, I think they need the home field advantage. I think they need home field advantage. I don't like their odds of going on the road and winning in Kansas City this year. I don't like their odds of going on the road and winning in Baltimore right now. I do think that they are better than both of those teams, provided the matchup is at home. I think that given the Patriots' division they play in, the remaining schedule they have, they're going to do enough to get the first round bye. That is incredibly important, and also to get the number one seed. I don't think it's going to come to this. If it comes to this, where they're going on the road in the playoffs on the AFC Championship game, then they've had a massive failure here in the second half of the season because, look, Baltimore's already has two losses already. They have the tiebreaker in hand over New England. It feels like it's only really Baltimore who could get that number one seed over them, and I just don't see it happening given how hard Baltimore's remaining schedule is.
I mean, you've got those last three games, which are almost guaranteed wins. The Buffalo one's tough, but it's at home where they usually win.
So
you're thinking if they can go, what do they got left? Six games, seven games?
I think they're 8-1. So
they have seven games left. If they can go 5-2, that puts them at 13-3. There's no reason to think they can't go 5-2 when they're playing Miami, Buffalo at home, and Cincinnati. If you put the numbers together, 5-2 doesn't sound that hard.
When did you say they were going to be 13-3?
Yeah, that's assuming that they lose one of the, two of the four games to Dallas, Philly, Houston, and Kansas City.
And the funny part is if they were in any other division in the AFC, they'd be a 10-win team. They'd have 10 wins.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they would. No bottom feeders except for Cincinnati. You'd have to play the Ravens twice, Pittsburgh twice, Cleveland twice.
There's three teams under 500 in that division.
What about if they killed Pittsburgh?
What about if they have to play the Texans or the Colts, the Jags? The Titans are 4-5. Give-me's on that one.
The AFC South, I agree, would be harder. Yes.
Well, guess what? Foxborough is in the Northeast. It's in the East.
But it just goes to show you how easy that division is. That division had
such
the same type of
argument.
Teams.
So
but it's the
tired.
Truth, though. You just
I know,
said,
it's just year after year
but you know,
it's
so funny
the same thing.
You both said that they need home field advantage. Why would they need home field advantage if they're so much better than all the other teams?
I'm not saying they're all better than all the other teams. I think they're not as good on the road against Baltimore. That's all I said.
Let me ask you this.
Kansas City?
Here's an interesting question, kind of an offshoot of that. You were talking about the offensive line. You were talking about wide receivers, all that. If you could bring back one player who was with the Patriots this year that's either been cut, traded, or injured, who would it be?
Oh, that's easy.
So you get to bring back one player that was either cut, traded, or injured. 802-655-6672. One reinforcement. You can't bring back Gronk. He was never on the team to this year. One player. Who would it be? And I want to hear from the people on this, too.
That's easy for me, David Andrews. I just think that's a crushing loss. And not only do you lose him, but you lose him before the season starts for the entire season. I mean, I think if there's anybody, I mean, we have a list in front of us. And, you know, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, Michael Bennett, Isaiah Wynn, David Andrews, James Devlin, or other. And
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah. And I mean, I look at that list and I just think, what would be the one person who could make a difference fixing one of the glaring problems? And to me, David Andrews in the middle of that line would make a huge difference.
I tend to agree with you, David Andrews. That was my choice also. And I'm surprised to hear you say that, because you tend to go for more flash. And you've been on the Isaiah Wynn bandwagon all, you know, ever since he got hurt earlier in the year. For me, it is David Andrews. He would solidify the center position, be better in the run game, the continuity with Tom Brady, pass blocking, it would force them. It wouldn't have forced him to move Ted Karras into the center position for a while, and that could, he could play, you know, he could play guard where he's more accustomed to playing here. So for me, it was also David Andrews.
I was going to say something like Gostkowski. Is that a bad one?
Yes.
Why?
What is the loss of Steven Gostkowski meant in any of the games this year?
Well, first of all, it's not for the first eight. It's for the big ones coming down the road.
No, I agree with you.
Ask me that question next time they miss a kick for the game winner. Ask the Browns if they want, or excuse me, ask the Bears if they want a kicker. Rich, and see what
I understand that, but that hasn't happened yet. The show is today.
The show's today. Wait, you think that's a bad pick there? Because
Yes.
Really?
As opposed to David Andrews? Absolutely. I think David Andrews would play a much bigger part in the success of the New England Patriots going forward.
I was thinking outside the box. Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Brady, I don't think
Gostkowski was a bad one, by the way.
I thought that was thinking outside. It's going to be a damn good one as soon as somebody misses a kick to win a game.
You're speculating that that's a good pick. You don't know. There may be no close games the rest of the season.
I actually think that's a very good kick. I actually think that's a very good pick.
I just can't compliment Ernie.
I will. I think that's a smart pick. I think David Andrews for me is number one. Absolutely. The offensive line, I think, is the biggest problem with this team right now. And I think having the guy in the middle who solidifies it is the most important thing that they could do. But they very well could lose a game this year, lose a game in the regular season that jeopardizes seeding, could lose a game in the playoffs that costs you a chance to go to the Super Bowl because of kicking. You read the reports on Twitter just like I did before that game against Baltimore. Nick Folk was awful inside 50 yards, like from 50 yards plus. If they don't trust him to kick 50-yard field goals for the rest of the season and the playoffs in bad weather, that could very well cost you a trip to the Super Bowl.
Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't one of the kickers kick it out of bounds, too, that put it at the 40 on the kicker?
Nugent.
Yeah, that's the worst thing ever, man. It is. You put somebody at the 40, that's a killer.
That being said, Gostkowski wasn't kicking well before he went down.
He's a lot better than what they got
now. But he was hurt.
A lot better? I don't know. Check the numbers. A lot better?
Well, Gostkowski had been bad, but he'd been bad because he was injured.
Okay, but that's what you had. If he's back on the team, and well, okay.
Yeah. You're right.
You could run around in circles forever in this discussion.
If you had a fully healthy Steven Gostkowski, then Arnie wants to bring him back.
Right.
I just can't wait, because you've seen what's going on with just the two kickers they've had for the last couple, 3 weeks?
Yes, it's been a continuation of what Steven Gostkowski gave the team earlier in the season.
I can't wait till the kicker costs them a game that you can say, why can't we have him back, for crying out loud? That's what you would say. 802-655-6672, Brady, if you want to go ahead and jump on in.
4 minute football fix.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
A huge emphasis for us to make sure rush, pressure, the whole thing, that we could affect the quarterback.
Got our hands on some balls, so that was good too.
And it's just, you know, making sure fundamentally we're sound in all aspects of the game.
This is your home for the gridiron.
101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is such a busy Wednesday.
Not really.
Nice compliment we got from Triple E.
Thanks, guys. Brady, Rich, and Arnie have yet to deliver a show in my eyes and ears that will deter me from having to go anywhere else for the latest and greatest in sports entertainment.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Triple E.
We'll take that with all the venom that gets spewed out at us through the internet.
It's probably the best we've had so far. What do you mean, we'll take it? Nuts.
Definitely take it.
So how about this story for the 4 minute football fix? I feel bad for this one. Mitch Trubisky, quarterback of the Bears,
I saw this.
Wants televisions turned off inside where the Bears practice and train. to insulate the struggling team from outside criticism.
What I don't understand is, what do they do? Put the TVs on and just crank the volume so you can hear, Trubisky sucks. What do they put on the, like, those shows in the morning?
Well, like SportsCenter or NFL Live or something like that.
You know, if you can't take it, big boy, maybe you should have picked another profession. You could be a CPA if you know numbers.
See, here you are crushing for it. Why? Like,
Zarni likes that.
He likes criticism.
Well,
I don't understand
this. It's not a question for him, but you know what? Why would you care? And it's not SportsCenter. What it really is like those talking head shows like Nick Wright and...
Get Up.
Yeah. Why would those guys bother you? For crying out loud, that's a Colin... Even if Colin said something, why would they bother you?
If they're saying that the Bears are the biggest disappointment, and Trubisky's this, and Matt Nagy's that...
Use it for motivation.
Why not just shut it off?
I would use it for motivation. It wouldn't bother me. I would say, okay.
Why not just shut it off and turn on Maury? And that'll make you feel a whole lot better than listening to that.
Well, because it goes to show you that if Colin Coward's saying that Mitch Trubisky isn't a good quarterback, that he's taking it to heart, that it's bothering him.
But do you need more of that criticism? You already know.
You're going to be surrounded by it, so trying to shield yourself from it, I don't think that's a good
I agree with Brady. The last thing I want is to have Stephen A. Smith yelling about what an inferior human being I am.
Just keep walking by. You don't have to stop and watch it if you don't want to. Just go about your business.
Put Tony Robbins on there. Put something telling you how great you are.
We know that these things bother professional athletes. Remember the story, the GQ article that came out this summer? Baker Mayfield was at the bar with the guy, with the reporter, and he saw they're talking about Daniel Jones and all that, and he goes, I should have been picked before Daniel Jones. You know, I was better than Daniel Jones or whatever. Okay, I mean, we know that these things bother
athletes.
I'll
tell you what. I want you guys to close your computer, and I will only read the text from now on, and I'll only read the good ones. And the bad ones I won't read because I don't want to hurt your feelings, okay? Is that what you want me to do?
But we've been there with me on this. I have very thin skin.
But I mean, if somebody said, Brady, I disagree with you. Not good. I don't want to offend you. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I'm not going to read the ones that say they disagree with you, Brady, or they disagree with you, Rich. And we'll keep it just... I mean, you don't want that.
There'd be no text.
Brady, you don't even want that. You don't care if...
But don't you think there's at some point where you've beaten yourself up enough that you'd like to turn off the outside criticism because you're doing it enough to yourself? Don't you think that if your son is a goalie and gives up 6 goals in the game, he knows what he did wrong?
Yes, yes.
He's already been yelled at by the coach.
Yes.
He's already let his team down.
Yes.
He already feels guilty himself. The last thing he wants to do is go home to your house,
yes,
which is supposed to be a happy place, and be piled on by you and your wife.
This is not home. This is the work a bit. This is, you know, where he works. Right, you're talking about at the complex. Is that okay? And two, I've been in the Cowboy complex a bunch of times. Yes, they have TVs, but I've never heard where it just gets turned up and you can hear like Stephen A. Smith going, Jason Garrett needs to be fired and stuff like that. I never heard of that.
No, but I mean, this is way out of this is a big time hypothetical, but it's sort of what Brady just said. Shea comes out after giving up 6 goals and on the Kent State TV station. There's two guys sitting there just talking about how horrible the goalie was tonight.
See, now,
do you want him to hear that?
If you're going to play in the NHL, you're going to hear it sooner or later, so don't shield yourself from it. Richard Middlebury, motivating moment. Arnie sucks at his reads. See, now I could be very upset about that and say...
Except it's true.
Say, everybody turn off your computers. We can't see the bad stuff that's criticizing me, and I don't want to be criticized. I just want nice stuff said about me. How about that, Richard?
No. I'm not saying that. Yeah. Half the stuff we get is criticizing. Well, not criticizing, but I'd say a quarter of it's criticizing, and half of it is disagreeing with us. I mean, you get used to it after a while.
You see people that go off social media or don't have social media because they don't want more increased negativity around them. Do you have a problem with that?
No, it's up to each individual.
This is up to Mr. Trubisky.
It depends what your job is, though. If you're a doctor, firefighter, a policeman, you got to take the criticism. I'm sorry. If you're going to get off Twitter because people are ripping policemen or firemen, find another line of work. If you're a sports athlete...
But I don't
have
to put myself through that.
If you're a sports athlete, I think that just comes with the territory. If you're going to get sensitive about people criticizing your play, play better. If you're a librarian, I can see where you maybe don't want to be, hear harsh stuff to you.
This conversation is between people who have very different personalities, and that's one of the things I think that's interesting about this show. Arnie, you couldn't care if people just bashed you all night long. You thrive on that stuff.
Yeah, but what am I going to do? Go home and say I quit now?
Look,
I'm going to quit my national show?
No, but
show?
You like it.
Look,
I don't want to get bashed by 20 straight texters.
I think what this is, though, is like, we can't control the fans, okay? The players can't control the fans in the stadium. They can't control what's being said to them on the field, on the court, whatever. We can't control what the texters or callers are saying. We're in the job right now, okay? We are on the air right now. They are playing the game right then. They deserve to be criticized if criticism is warranted. However, outside of that job, they don't need to subject themselves to that unnecessarily, okay? You don't come in here and read negative texts at 2 in the afternoon. No, you come in here at 3 o'clock on and you read the text. Mitch Trubisky doesn't need to put his team through this at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday.
I read all the texts that come in. When I come in at 2 o'clock, if there was a text sent at noon, we read those. We read all. If there was sent after 6 p.m., we go down the list and we read those also. I think he's being a little sensitive because he's playing bad. If he was playing good and they were saying good stuff, he wouldn't be saying turn the TVs off. That's for damn sure.
No, but they have a choice to turn it off, so why not turn it off? I mean, if you're given the choice, it's like, do I sit here and go, I think I'm going to go home tonight and hear about how horrible I am at radio? No, I'll choose not to see that.
Real quick, Tyler wants to know, is there going to be trivia tonight?
Yes. 7 o'clock, City right. Sports Grill. I'll be there, baby.
Be there or be square. Last story standing. Coming up next, you're in the huddle. What a 1.3 of the game.
Or insightful. We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Last Story Standing, powered by Vitel Wireless, voted the fastest internet provider in Vermont, and internet plan starting at $10 per month with no contract required. VitelWireless.com. A Russian startup company is selling robots, and you can make the robot look like anybody you want.
Cool.
So I can get a rich robot, and he can sit with me for the whole time, and I can smack him in the head, say, "Rich, don't talk back to me." You can make it look like Michael Jordan. You can make it look George Washington, live, dead, doesn't make a difference. I think it's going to be, right, you want one, Rich?
I could think of a few people I'd like to sit next to.
What are you going to get, like Ken Griffey Jr. and just have him hang out with you all day?
Yes, I get a Ken Griffey Jr. robot. I was thinking Rich would get some woman or something.
No, I'd get like Peter Gabriel or someone so I could have a nice conversation with him about Genesis.
I can see Brady playing like catch with Ken Griffey Jr. robot. Doing something like that. All right, that was the last one. It was a good story. I'll have to give you more later on, but... any interns today?
Intern Danny, trivia tonight, City Sports Grill in Colchester.
Be there, be square. See ya.
Clay Travis.